whining about gas prices. It's good that it costs a lot, and not just because the sales tax will help pay for our twice-a-year governor elections. It's also good if it makes you think of walking the three blocks from your house to Del Taco instead of taking the Land Cruiser. Gasoline costs a lot because we have to find it, bribe or kill the people who live on top of it, extract it, refine it, ship it, and pump it. You'll pay $2 a gallon and you'll like it because you know what the alternative is, riding on the bus with poor people. New rule, call things what they are. If your morning coffee contains crushed ice, whipped cream, and caramel, it's a milkshake.
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320. AM 1320 KCTC. Sacramento's Left Channel. Streaming live at 1320leftchannel.com.
CBS News. I'm Harley Carnes. Sentences like this need to come with a big pipe organ cord. 24 years, 4 months in prison for Jeffrey Skilling, former Enron CEO, plus restitution of $45 million to the victims of the fraud. $15 million goes to the lawyers. CBS News legal analyst Andrew Cohen.
He certainly didn't help himself when he stood up in front of the judge and declared his innocence once again. That's not what sentencing judges are looking for. They're looking from defendants for genuine and humble expressions of regret and an acknowledgement of responsibility. And Skilling gave his trial judge neither of those things.
Next for Skilling.
Obviously, I'm disappointed in the sentence. We'll appeal the sentence. I think we have a good basis for appeal.
He's out on bail in the meantime. On the subject of setting a baseline timetable, mileposts for Iraqi officials to meet in the gradual transfer of power, Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld.
Would everyone wish that everything happened very rapidly? You bet. Everyone would wish that. They would. We would. Coalition countries would. The Iraqi people would. But I think people have to be realistic.
Death makes for impatience. 86 deaths so far has made October the deadliest month of the year for American troops. And the military in Baghdad says one U.S. soldier is missing. One coal miner in Tremont, Pennsylvania, has died in a coal mine explosion. Other miners all got out safely. It has been a rough year.
This is Jim Crisula. There's been a big jump in coal mining deaths in the U.S. this year, almost double last year's grim figure of 22. With coal prices up, production has been increased, with miners working longer and harder. Some say fatigue and safety concerns are being ignored. The two worst mine accidents this year, Sega, West Virginia, where 12 miners died in January, and in eastern Kentucky, where 5 men died in May.
As the saying goes, bottoms up to your health.
Drinking can be good for your heart, says an Archives of Internal Medicine study headed by Boston researcher Dr. Kenneth Mukamal.
Moderate drinking is associated with a 40 to 60% lower risk of heart attacks than it is not drinking at all.
In this study of nearly 9,000 healthy medical professionals, the heart attack risk started rising again after a couple of daily drinks. Barry Bagnetto, CBS News, Washington.
Another study out today says 3 glasses of red wine seems to protect against colon cancer. 2/3 fewer polyps for those who drank red wine versus those who don't. When you shake hands, you swap germs and maybe cold and flu viruses too. That's a reminder from Dr. Andrew Seymour at Sunnybrook Health Center in Toronto.
We know that when people have a viral infection like the common cold or influenza and they cough or sneeze into a handkerchief or even into their hands, the virus can then survive on the hands and on the fingertips for minutes, if not hours at a time.
If you don't want to shake hands, you don't have to be rude. Just say, I have a bit of a cold. People will have no problem passing up the hand bumping. No problem. On Wall Street, the Dow gained more than 114 points. New record for the Dow, 12,116. NASDAQ up 13. This is CBS News.
You, playing Texas Hold'em with Mozart, fairies, kings, queens, albino aardvarks, karaoke singing koalas, the Sun City kickball team, wearing flippers, Sasquatch and Nessie holding hands at sunset in the Grand Canyon. Dreams, they can be strange and magical, but if you can't sleep, you can't dream. So ask your doctor about Rosarum, a sleep aid like no other, approved for adults having trouble falling asleep. Rosarum is the first and only prescription sleep aid that in clinical studies shows no potential for abuse or dependence, so you can get to sleep, and maybe your dreams will get to see you again.
Don't take Rosarum if you're taking Lubox, Fluvoxamine, or have severe liver problems. Avoid taking it with alcohol. Don't drive or operate machinery until you know how you'll react to Rosarum. Rosarum may affect certain hormones. Consult your doctor about how this may affect you, or if you're insomnia doesn't improve. Take Rosuvastatin right before bed. Side effects may include drowsiness, fatigue, and dizziness. Individual results may vary. Ask your doctor today if Rosuvastatin is right for you. For more information, call 1-877-ROSUVASTATIN-1, CRN Prevention Magazine, or visit Rosuvastatin.com.
Swimming babies, dancing babies, singing babies.
They stole and tried to sell some of Coca-Cola's legendary secrets, but Pepsi refused to drink from that cup.
Ibrahim Demson and Edmund Duhaney admitted in court today they tried to sell Coke secrets to Pepsi in a pot plot that fizzled when Pepsi blew the whistle. Federal prosecutor Randy Chartash.
The government is satisfied, very satisfied with these two pleas.
Chartash says Duhaney cut a deal with prosecutors. He'll get a reduced sentence for helping the woman both men say masterminded the corporate espionage plot, former Coke worker Joya Williams. Court today, both men said she told them she could make them all a lot of money. Pete Combs, CBS News, Atlanta.
A Russian cargo ship on its way to China went to the bottom of the Sea of Japan in the middle of a big storm. The ship was bringing timber to the lumber-challenged island nation. The huge load of wood evidently shifted and the big ship rolled right over. The weather's so bad, aircraft can't even search yet. 18 crewmen were aboard. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
Live, local, and left, it's Enid Goldstein on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Five minutes after 3 o'clock, welcome to the Monday edition of Enid Live. I am yours until 7 o'clock, 3 to 7, weekdays on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. And coming up tomorrow, we're going to be joined live in studio by distinguished author and journalist Simon Winchester, whose brand new book, A Crack in the Edge of the World, America and the Great California Earthquake of 1906, is now out in paperback, and he is in Sacramento. And on Wednesday, congressional candidate Jerry McNerney, who's running against Richard Pombo, and according to a couple of polls, either in a statistical dead heat or slightly ahead of Pombo, will be joining us in the 4 o'clock hour. A lot of you have been clamoring for that. And Thursday, Tess Gerritsen, who is in her other life a physician, but she's also a blockbuster author of thrillers, mysteries. She's in town for the Sacramento Bee Book Club. Her new book is called The Mephisto Club. It's a chilling tale that explores the heart of evil, and she will be with us live in the studio. And we will have some books of hers to give away. Maybe we can get her to sign them. So we have lots coming up this week. And you know the drill. Your homework assignment is to tell 3 to 5 people every single day that we are here. You don't even have to know these people. Could be in the checkout line. You'd be functioning as a kind of ambulatory billboard here or poster board. The numbers to call, always toll-free, 349-1320. 866-626-1320. You can email me, Enid, at kctc.com. And we stream live, 1320leftchannel.com. I went to the Charlie Brown event last night, featuring Charlie Brown and speaking on his behalf also, Valerie Plame's husband, now known not exactly as Mr. Plame, but Ambassador Joe Wilson. And so this was in Davis, and it was really an interesting event. Lots and lots of people and lots of listeners to Enid Live. So it was really lovely to be there. And, excuse me, they had to move it. The invitation I had it at one hotel. And when I got to that hotel, it had moved to a different hotel because, guess what? They were expecting maybe 50 people, and they had maybe 3 times that number. So I think that's a really good sign. However, in today's Chronicle, there is a piece that's sort of disturbing. And I hope that the reporter doesn't have it quite right, but let me just give you the gist of it if you haven't seen the Chronicle today. Although he's giving 8-term Republican Rep. John Doolittle, Deep Doolittle of Rockland, the toughest challenge of his political career, Democrat Charlie Brown cannot win. Doolittle has to lose. Now, I'm not sure I get that distinction, that Charlie Brown cannot win. Doolittle has got to lose. The 4th Congressional District, centered in fast-growing Placer and El Dorado counties, northeast of Sacramento and stretching to the Oregon border, is arguably the most conservative district in California. Voter registration, as of the most recent report, was 48% Republican, 30% Democratic, 17% declined to states or independents. So what you've got is, if you've got 48% registering Republican, then 47% is everybody else, independents and Democrats as well. Those numbers give Doolittle a victory unless, says the Chronicle, droves of Republicans desert Doolittle. Doolittle is not going to be defeated by any Democratic tsunami. He is in as Republican a seat as you can get, at least in California, said the publisher of a nonpartisan handicapping of legislative races in California, something called the Target Book. His defeat would require enormous Republican crossover, which would only result from a repudiation of him as a candidate. And that is exactly what Charlie Brown is trying to persuade GOP voters to do. Charlie says Doolittle's not doing anything for the district. If you look at his history of earmarks, he's doing more for his clients Brent Wilkes and Jack Abramoff. That's probably the single biggest issue. He doesn't do much for his own district, but he's doing a lot for these other people who pay him off to do it. For the past 4 years, Doolittle has been Secretary of the Republican Caucus, the sixth-ranking GOP leadership slot in the House. Coupled with a seat on the Appropriations Committee, that makes Doolittle a formidable presence on Capitol Hill. He has long advocated a second dam near Auburn, higher on the American River than the existing Folsom Dam. Brown says he opposes the Auburn Dam in part because of its expense. So anyway, here's the story. A nonpartisan publisher or handicapper of legislative races in California says that Doolittle is in as Republican a seat as you can get. And in order for Charlie Brown to win, there has to be, in effect, a tsunami of Republicans crossing over to support Charlie Brown. So the headline of the story is this red district, which this is, and the most conservative in California, alleged to be, makes Doolittle tough to beat. Well, I got an email from one of you. Maybe this is wishful thinking. And here it is. This is from Jim. Good morning from historic Folsom. I was driving all over Granite Bay this weekend and was struck by the number of lawn signs I saw for Charlie Brown. His signs outnumber Doolittle's by a margin of 20 or 30 to 1. If signs are any indicator, things look good for Charlie. Well, maybe they're not any indicator at all. I listened to the entire Brown-Doolittle debate, and now I know why Doolittle keeps such a low profile locally. He has a whining, high-pitched voice, uncontrolled anger, and the inability to intelligently discuss issues. Let's hope he gets dumped. Well, what the handicappers of these races are saying is that Doolittle, in order for Charlie to win, there has to be massive crossover from the Republicans to Charlie. It may be that some of these Republicans will vote Republican in all the other races, and maybe they're going to vote for Charlie. But those of you who are these dyed-in-the-wool Doolittle supporters, I would love to hear, other than taxes, what it is you see in Doolittle. I don't understand why you'd want to vote for him. 349-1320, 866, 626-1320. Republicans for Charlie Brown have launched a website. It's www.republicansforcharliebrown.net. It is a grassroots organization of Republicans dedicated to traditional conservative principles like a strong national defense, like fiscal responsibility, and the highest standards of moral leadership. It has launched a new website to help voters of the 4th Congressional District decide what kind of person they want representing them in Washington. So here is a website, republicansforcharliebrown.net. republicansforcharliebrown.net, if you want to look at that particular website. There are a lot of letters in the B about how awful Doolittle is. There's very little to support Doolittle. The real the letters are mainly supportive of Charlie. Now here's the story that we broke last week. Oh, and by the way, Doolittle, you could call Doolittle's campaign and find out why they are continuing to do those robocalls that sound like they're calling from the Charlie Brown campaign. And then they go into trashing Charlie, but they're really from the Doolittle campaign. So I haven't heard those calls, but they sound like they're awfully deceptive. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. Over the weekend, Sacramento Bee, one of the things that Doolittle kept saying to Charlie, because he had no answers for all the allegations of corruption that have been put to him, all he could do was come back with a mantra of ACLU, Code Pink, Cindy Sheehan, Sean Penn, Nancy Pelosi, and he just kept repeating those in a bunch of different orders. Oh, and NAMBLA. He threw in a lot of NAMBLA in there as well. So in the Bee over the weekend, David Whitney from the Bee's Washington Bureau talked about how Doolittle was painting Charlie Brown as a liberal because he is a member of the ACLU, and what that had to do with NAMBLA, and it didn't have very much to do with NAMBLA other than protecting the right of free speech. So maybe that's, you know, maybe it has something to do with but it, NAMBLA. Somebody got arrested, and among the allegations is that a guy who got arrested for a brutal act was looking at the NAMBLA website, and you know, and some of the material was repulsive. But the ACLU argued, and it is argued to defend Rush Limbaugh and other conservatives, the ACLU argued that it was a First Amendment issue regardless of how repugnant the speech is or what was on the NAMBLA website. The First Amendment protects that kind of information. And you can't, you know, that's the thing about where you start drawing the line. If you start saying, well, you know, we're going to believe in the First Amendment except for the stuff that's really repulsive and awful. Oh, really? Well, where is that line? Where is that line? 349-1320, 866, 626-1320. And where is the slippery slope? So just saying you're a member of the ACLU it shouldn't be an epithet. Claire in Sacramento. Hi, you're live with Enid on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel.
Hey, Enid, how you doing?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Oh, good, good. Hey, what is NAMBLA? Are the Republicans trying to say that's another dirty word for a Democrat, or what's the deal?
I don't know. You tell me.
Well, that's what I'm calling. I don't know what NAMBLA is.
It's an association of men and boys, a National Association of Men and Boy Loves Association or something like that. I'm not quite clear on what the acronym is. So it's not, you know, it's not a group, and they're always trying to figure out ways to tell adult men to seduce young boys and, you know, and stuff like that, stuff that none of us are going to sign on to. But it's a free speech issue.
Right.
So even if it's repugnant, should we then only allow free speech for things that we think are okay and not repugnant?
Right. Gotcha. Okay.
Okay. You got that, Claire?
Okay.
Okay. Thank you very much. I appreciate the call. So here's the story. Then this is something that we broke last week. And we scooped the Los Angeles Times, and we scooped the Sacramento Bee. And what the story was while Doolittle was pointing the finger at Charlie Brown, talking about ACLU and then referencing NAMBLA, North American Man-Boy Love Association, that's what it is, North American Man-Boy Love Association, when he was pointing the finger at Charlie Brown, and when he was talking about how Charlie's a member of the ACLU and how the ACLU has represented NAMBLA, well, I don't know if it's represented NAMBLA so much as it has said, you know, if this material, as offensive as it is on a website, it is protected material. I think that's what the ACLU has argued, okay? But somehow, Doolittle was trying to associate Charlie Brown with NAMBLA. With, you know, these awful sexual predilections that NAMBLA has. While Doolittle, as it turns out, has a friend from the church, another Mormon, a fellow Mormon from the church, and what he did is he testified to this guy's character, this guy's a dentist, who was accused of and then later charged with drugging his female patients and then sexually molesting them while they were under anesthesia, nitrous oxide, which I don't know if I've ever had nitrous, but I don't think you're fully under if you have had nitrous. Somebody tell me what the nitrous experience is like. In any event, because Doolittle testified to this dentist's good character for the first time, the dentist got a rap on the knuckles and was released to be free again to continue to drug women patients and assault again. And he did, apparently, because another woman came forward. And eventually, the dentist did get hauled off to the pokey, but it was some years later. He was hauled off to the pokey, and I think he was permanently stripped of his license. I have heard that the dentist's brother has made a contribution to the Doolittle campaign, the present one, and I think you can find that on the Federal Election Commission website. But apparently, and there are stories out there, there may be another shoe to drop in that incident, in that there may be more testimony from Doolittle in another incident with this dentist. So it wasn't only the first time that he testified on behalf of this dentist's good character, but there may have been a subsequent time when that happened as well. So not just one time where you may be fooled by somebody's behavior, but more than one time. And my question is, if there are any women out there who were victims of this dentist and want to get their story out or want to come forward, you can always do that here. You just call us. We'll talk to you off the air. We'll talk to you on the air. The number is always toll free. But here's Doolittle, who's pointing the finger at Charlie Brown as a member of the ACLU and referencing NAMBLA as though Charlie were a pedophile, when Doolittle himself wasn't a member of an organization that defended this group or that group, however repulsive or repugnant the free speech issue was. Doolittle actually testified on behalf of a sexual predator. And he may have done it more than once. The same guy. He may have done it more than once. And with the first time we know, it resulted in the guy getting really let off free to assault again. And apparently he did. Because he was ultimately hauled off to the pokey, but it took, maybe 8 years, 6 years, 7 years. And justice might have been served more quickly had Doolittle not vouched for a sexual predator. And not only did he vouch for a sexual predator once, he may have also vouched for this guy more than once. Now, I don't know if that's enough to do anything. If you're a hardcore Doolittle supporter, the only thing that maybe can sink him with a hardcore, in the eyes of a hardcore supporter, if somehow or some congressional pages who are 16 years old showed up and had stories to tell. But that aside, I don't know if that's going to be enough. Your thoughts, 349-1320, 866, 620, 61320, and if there are any victims of this dentist, I would love to hear from you. Mike in Orangevale. Hi, you're live with Enid on AM 1320 Sacramento's left channel.
Hello, Enid. Nice talking with you again.
Thank you.
I heard you're reviewing that story in the Chronicle, and I took a look to see who wrote it, and it's Greg Lucas who wrote that.
Right.
Greg Lucas is married to Donna Lucas, who used to be Donna Lipper when she was George Shigmage's press secretary, and now runs Lucas Communications. Greg is also the son of former State Supreme Court Justice, I believe Chief Justice Malcolm Lucas. So you might say he might have a little bit of a bias.
Wait. Now, what did his wife do?
His wife is a former Donna Lipper. She was George Shigmage's press secretary when he was governor of California.
Oh, okay.
And they run Lucas Communications together, which I think is a political PR firm.
So he's doing political PR and he's reporting for the Chronicle?
His wife is. Yeah, Donna.
Because I would say for him that would be a conflict.
Well, this is something he's been questioned about before when I was in the Capitol Press Corps, but he managed to brush it aside. He's a competent reporter. I think he got his degree from UC Irvine. But I do think his bias is coming through, as it does for all of us. It came through with me when I was a reporter.
What kind of reporting did you do, Mike?
I wrote politics for California Magazine. I wrote a column called Capitol Oversights.
Okay.
And I did freelance work for the former California Journal.
Okay.
As well as Political Pulse and a couple others around town. So I haven't done that in about 5 years, but I was curious when I heard you reciting the story. I thought, I bet that Greg did that, and I looked it up, and by God, he did.
Do you think he's even right? I mean, do you think that?
Yes, I think he has. Oh yeah, yeah. No. He's not.
I mean, you're not questioning his reporting.
I live in Doolittle's district.
Okay.
And I live in Orangeville. It's, his district has been gerrymandered to include this little enclave here, which has a lot of guys who were 50 with big bellies who ride Harley Davidsons and fly American flags on them. So
they don't fall off with those big bellies?
How do they
defy the laws of both gravity and levity?
Harley Davidson has a low center of gravity, and as for levity, that's too light for these guys.
Yeah, really.
I think he did a competent job reporting, but I can't see how
he's saying without a massive Republican crossover.
I don't think massive
to Charlie Brown. Well, here are the numbers. The numbers he reflects are 48% registered Republicans and 47% Democrats and all other independents that are registered, and this is according to September. So I don't know if those numbers have changed substantially right to this point.
No, I don't think so. And I think it's primarily red, but I think it's more pink than red. It's more like medium rare rather than blood rare up here. And I think it's going to be tighter than what his handicappers are saying. But I do think Mr. Lucas did a good job of reporting on that. I just think his bias came through.
You do? So you think there's a strong...
He could have avoided the word massive. I mean, if I were an editor, I'd have got to cross that word out.
Right.
It's not exactly the New Yorker, is it?
Fact-checking, sort of, not exact. Mike, I thank you very much for the call, and thanks for the insight and the perspective. I didn't realize that about Greg Lucas.
Yeah.
Yeah, appreciate your take on it. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. Greg Lucas reporting, who has apparently a Republican background, reporting that Charlie's going to have to, in order to win, he's going to require massive Republican crossover. I don't know if massive is right. I don't know what's going to happen. Maybe it's too close to call. What are your thoughts? And what happens if it is revealed that Deep Doolittle not only testified on behalf of the sexual predator once, but he may have testified more times, and that may come out? Will that do anything? Or if you're a hardcore Doolittle supporter, forget it. It doesn't matter. Unless you're caught in bed with a 16-year-old page, nothing's going to change. What are your thoughts? 349-1320, 866-626-1320. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to the Monday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. Time now to check traffic and weather together from the left with Lisa West.
Thank you very much. Well, our weather's just absolutely gorgeous. I feel like it's June. 81, we are sitting at 54 for the low tonight, and our traffic is a little slow. Southbound 99 by Fruit Ridge Road. Eastbound I-80 just west of Madison Avenue. We have a 3-car crash slowing things down, getting back up on I-80. 50, westbound 50 just east of Bradshaw Road. A hit and run. No injuries, but stopping traffic over there in Watt Avenue. Above there, we have a 3-car crash. Enid Live will continue at AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
The people have spoken. It's radio in the left zone. You're listening to Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
I wanted it all. Intelligence, great looks, physical strength, inner beauty, even social consciousness. Friends said that I wanted too much, but I wouldn't settle. And now, I have it all.
This woman is talking about her Renewal by Anderson replacement windows from Hall's Window Center. If it looks better, lasts longer, and outperforms the competition, it's gotta be Anderson. The only windows and doors to receive Green Seal certification for energy efficiency and environmentally friendly manufacturing. Now you too can have it all. For a limited time, get 7 Renewal by Anderson windows and 1 Anderson PermaShield patio door from Hall's Window Center for just $69.95. Left Channel listeners save an extra $150. Go to HallsWindowCenter.com. Click on the green seal for your coupon. Visit Hall's Window Center today on Business Park Drive in Sacramento and now in Roseville on Roseville Parkway next to BJ's. Call 1-800-76-HALLS. Smud financing available. Some restrictions apply. Offer ends September 30th.
The Morning Retort with Scott and Sam.
To understand it,
Mitt Romney.
What drives people?
Massachusetts governor. If he can't protect his own citizens from tunnels, how will he protect you from terrorists? Done. Campaign is dead. See how easy it was?
It was that easy.
See, that's the problem on the left. You're the problem right there. You think you get all the answers to all the little questions that does not drive a lot of people outside of both coasts, outside of California and New York. Northeast. I mean, this is not the world.
This is not the center of the universe, Mr. Sims.
Mitt Romney gets the nomination. The tunnels win.
think about it. Taurus, Terra, Earth, tunnels. Do the math, Scott! It's very erotic. I'm being turned on by all this talk.
Scott and Sims, mornings 5:30 to 9 on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Play perfectly. I just joined Cash Creek's Cash Club, and I received $100 in free bonus play.
Play profitably.
I just joined Cash Club and automatically got an instant shot at $1 million.
Play endlessly. Cash Creek has thousands of the newest, hottest slots, and bonus play just keeps the action going.
Play, bonusfully at Cash Creek, Northern California's only AAA four-diamond casino resort. Just join the Cash Club, and you can start out with up to $500 in free bonus play. It's like playing with their money. Well, not like it. You really are playing with their money. Plus, don't forget the instant shot at $1 million. And you can't play on an empty stomach, so they're giving away over 150 $25 dining comps every day. So you can play and dine on their dollar. Cash Creek Casino Resort. Well played. Visit by taking I-80 to 505 North and 16 West. For tickets, visit cashcreek.com or any Ticketmaster outlet.
The line is forming to the left. It's Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
$3.29 on the Monday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 7, 3 to 7 weekdays on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. And we're talking about the piece in the Chronicle today where they want to make it sound like Doolittle's going to be tough to beat. Because of the numbers, because it's so heavily gerrymandered a Republican district that's probably the most conservative or thought to be the most conservative district in the state of California, deliberately gerrymandered to be such. The Doolittle has made all these appointments to various boards, and so he's got deep, deep, deep support that the numbers are such that Charlie's going to require, the piece says, a, quote, massive Republican. It's not, this doesn't have to be massive. You know, if you get the Democrats, if you get the independents, you don't need a massive crossover of Republicans, I don't think, to win. But those of you who are great with political numbers, tell me about that. And if it's revealed that Doolittle, who was happy to accuse Charlie Brown of some association with NAMBLA just because he's an ACLU member, if it is revealed that there are more testimony on behalf of this sexual predator dentist that Doolittle testified on his behalf, we know at least one time that he testified to this guy's good character, and that's in quotes, good character, in quotes, it may be that Doolittle did more testimony for the guy, whether it was a letter or whether it was additional testimony, but he went to bat for that guy more than once, possibly. He may have done that. Does that do anything? If you're a hardcore Doolittle supporter, I imagine that unless Doolittle's caught in the sack with a 16-year-old pager with steamy IMs, it probably won't make any difference. But I wonder what you think. 349-1320-866-626-1320. Scott in Sac. Hi, you're live with Enid on AM 1320. Hi, Scott.
Hi, Enid.
Welcome.
My parents-in-law are staunch Bush supporters, and they will not vote for Doolittle because of all the issues that you brought up. But they haven't said that they will vote for Charlie Brown, but at least they're not going to vote for Doolittle.
Let's put your statistician's hat on, because I don't know if I can. I can't do this. If people can't bring themselves, Republicans cannot bring themselves to vote for Doolittle, but they cannot also bring themselves to vote for Charlie Brown, and they leave the box blank, what does that do for Charlie? It probably increases his odds?
I would think so.
I would think so, too, but I'm not a statistician.
No. Well, I would certainly hope that's the way it would go, and I'm still working on him to give Charlie a vote, so we'll see what happens.
Well, that would be two votes for Charlie. Are you in the district?
No, I'm not. I'm in Sacramento. They live in Nevada City.
So what would be their objection? They're not going to vote for Doolittle because clearly he must be troubling to them at this point.
You know, they believe what Bush says. So when Doolittle says that Charlie Brown is a NAMBLA supporter, this, that, and the other thing, you know, part of that they believe. So I think that might be one of the reasons why they wouldn't want to cast their vote for him.
Well, wait, but why aren't they casting their vote for Doolittle as they typically do?
Well, because of all these issues, and he's not an honest man, he's not trustworthy, and they were really angry with him because they are very, I mean, their morals, quote unquote, are very high, and he doesn't match their morals, the things that he has done.
So they can see through him. To the extent that they decided that he's not getting their vote, but they cannot bring themselves to pull the lever for Charlie.
Not yet, no.
Well,
like I said, I'm still working on them.
Work them over, Scott, whatever it takes.
I will.
Bring some wonderful champagne over.
That might work.
It might. You never know, you know. And here, dear, fill out your absentee ballot. Thank you for the call. Sometimes you have to resort to subterfuge. Harry in Roseville. Hi, you're live with Enid on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. Hi, Harry.
Hello, Enid. First off, vote for Charlie Brown. Would not necessarily have to be a vote for the Democratic Party. As an independent myself, we have moderate conservatives in this county who have been driven out of office by the extremism of Doolittle. We have libertarians. So there is a lot of people out there like myself, independents, progressive like myself. We're not in the Democratic Party, never will be. However, a vote for Charlie Brown, as I say, is not a vote for the Democratic Party.
Do you think that a lot of people feel as you do, that they can bring themselves typically...
I can tell you this, if there are people, I'm very familiar with Placer County, if there are people who are listening to your station, they'll know me. I was around when talk radio first came to Sacramento in 1991, 92. They know where I stand, and I believe that Charlie Brown can win in Placer County. The appeal has to be an appeal merely for Charlie Brown to replace someone who is a real extremist. I know about the forced abortions in the Saipan. I've known about that for years. I know that he is an extremist, a very far right thinking individual that drives anybody out who is even a moderate conservative Republican. I've experienced that over the years. So I think that if we ask people who are libertarian, independents, and moderate conservatives to vote for Charlie Brown, it's not a vote for the Democratic Party. We have a chance to bring Charlie Brown into office. By the way, I would not support Angelides. He's as gray as Gray Davis. And I think that the people who hear me know that what I'm talking about. Back when Gray Davis was in power, the Sacramento News and Review ran a picture of Gray Davis on the front page with the caption, well, first off, they had him with his head looking like a light bulb, and the caption said, the light is on, but nobody's home. Now, that was when he made big
All right. That's a whole other conversation, Harry.
Okay.
But I'm interested in your Doolittle perceptions, and I think that's a good one. I thank you very much.
It'll reach people. I know it will.
Okay. Thanks a lot for the call. I appreciate hearing from you. We're talking about the possibility. Let me just say this. I went to that Charlie Brown... Ambassador Joe Wilson, and by the way, that lawsuit goes forward with Scooter Libby and with the outing of Joe Wilson's wife, Valerie Plame, when she was undercover for the CIA, and all of that continues to go forward. So I contributed to the Legal Defense Fund for Ambassador Joe Wilson and for Valerie Plame, and I also contributed to Charlie Brown's campaign last night. And if you've got any spare dough, you know, $5, $10, you know, zillions if you have it. Big, you know, three-figure contributions if you can do it. Four-figure contributions, even better. Can you do $50? Can you do $100? Can you do $5 or $10? Whatever you can do, whatever you're comfortably able to do, or a couple of bucks here and then a couple of bucks there, that campaign can use your help. CharlieBrownForCongress.org. 349-1320, 866, 626, 1320. I'm Enid Goldstein, and you are listening to the Monday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. Time now to check traffic and weather together from the left with Lisa West.
Thank you very much. Communication breakdown on the highways. Speed limit, 55. Okay, so we have a guy over there doing 75, southbound 99 by Fruit Ridge Road, and it looks like the 3- and 4-car crash has stopped things down just a little bit. Auburn Ravine at Road at Lincoln Way in Auburn, the 2-car crash is stopping traffic down on into Sac, and we have a hit and run westbound 50 just east of Bradshaw Road that is slowing things down as well. Enid Live will continue. We are 54 for the low tonight, 80-81 tomorrow. We're at 81 at AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel.
She's not right, but she's never wrong. Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. The Morning Retort.
The rule number one, no more cell phones in movie theaters. Please, you're not a cardiologist on call. You're a putz whose babysitter wants to know where the ketchup is. And then you tell her in the middle of the movie. Sometimes it's so loud in the theater I can barely hear what the black people are yelling at the screen. There is a simple solution. Put your cell phone on vibrate and then up your... New rule, no more celebrating gastric bypass. Carney Wilson, Al Roker, and now Star Jones are all being heralded by the media for stapling their stomachs shut. They shouldn't be. They're not making a brave choice to change. They're giving money to doctors to reroute their ability to turn food into crap.
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320.
The color pink represents the promise to find a cure for breast cancer. That promise started the Susan G. Komen Breast Cancer Foundation and ignited the passion of millions to create a world without breast cancer. October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month. We are reaching out to you to make a difference this month by making a personal donation to the Komen Foundation and by showing your passion for the cure by wearing pink one or more days in October. Anything you can do to heighten the awareness of this cause can make a difference. To share your promise and to donate funds to our passion, log on to 1320 Left Channel.
It's not something that you just dump something on. It's not a big truck. It's a series of tubes. It really is the Internet consumer bill of rights. Because he got tangled up with all of these things that are going on the Internet commercially. The world has turned against this. If your own personal Internet, that is, you know, me. You and the Internet. Tubes. The Internet is not something that you just dump something on. It's not a big truck.
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320.
It's a series of tubes.
Hey, listen up. What about your future? Are you unhappy with your current job? You want to make great money and get the promotion you deserve? Now's the time. Explore your options. Log on to sackjobs.com and post your resume today. That's sackjobs.com. Post your resume and have local employers find you now. New companies being added each day and hundreds of jobs being added each week. So if you're in the market for a job, sackjobs.com is a click away. At sackjobs.com, you're on your way to a better day.
The line is forming to the left. It's Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
On the Monday edition of Enid Live, I'm yours until 7, 3 to 7 weekdays on AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel. I have some other information on other races. We're talking about Doolittle. We're talking the San Francisco Chronicle over the weekend endorsed Deborah Bowen, which is good. And it turns out that in her internal polling, it's going to be a very tight race with Bruce McPherson, and you want Deborah Bowen. And one of the reasons you want Deborah Bowen, ABC News breaking this story that electronic voting machines could skew the elections, like, duh, where have they been? In any event, Deborah Bowen is very interested in looking at these electronic voting machines, and Bruce McPherson is very interested in not looking at them. And you want Deborah Bowen, and the Chronicle endorsed her. Her internal polling puts her at 2 points ahead, which makes it a sort of statistical dead heat. We're talking about Doolittle. We're talking about Brown. We're talking about politics. We're talking about a lot of things. 349-1320. And to alert you, Jerry McNerney will be my guest in the 4 o'clock hour on Wednesday. Keith calling from Roseville. Hi, you're live with Enid on AM 1320. Hi, Keith.
Hey, Enid. How you doing?
Doing well. Thank you.
Yeah, I was driving around my neighborhood here behind Republican enemy lines, and I didn't notice any signs out in I'm the only one that's got a sign out in my front yard, so I don't know.
Well, what do you have a sign out for? Who do you have a sign out for?
Oh, Charlie Brown.
So you're saying you didn't see any signs out for anybody?
I saw a city supervisor sign, and that was the one. That was the only sign out in all this whole neighborhood. So I don't know.
Well, I don't know. You know, I think that Doolittle's support is so deep that maybe those people don't want to put signs up, and they're going to get their cars keyed or something. Who knows?
Yeah, I have no idea.
Okay, so you're reporting that you're seeing Charlie Brown signs, but not Doolittle signs.
Yeah, I do. And you know.
And what area are you talking about? Roseville primarily?
Yeah, Roseville.
Okay. What about those really, 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 really red areas that are, you know, it's such a far-flung district?
Yeah.
What about those areas? So you're not in that. And you have probably a lot of Bay Area transplants who have come up through the years to, say, Roseville and so on, whereas I don't know that you're going to find them in the redder parts of the district.
Yeah, that is true. This is a pretty new neighborhood, so there's probably a lot of Bay Area transplants. So
I thank you very much, Keith, for the call. 349-1320, 866-626-2613-20. Julian in Fair Oaks. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Julian.
Hi, Enid. How are you doing? You're looking great today.
Thank you.
Enid, that Charlie Brown for .org address you gave out?
Yeah?
That one, actually, we went there and it was incorrect. We've got charliebrownforcongress.org.
That's the For Congress, but this is republicansforcharliebrown.net, I think.
Okay.
Did you try that?
No, I'm not sure what Maggie was trying, but it was coming up with Charlie Brown Comics.
No, Charlie. This is republicansforcharliebrown.net.
Republicans for Charlie.
Yeah, are you a Republican, Jillian?
No, gosh, no.
Okay, oh, Lord, but the regular site is charliebrownforcongress.org. You're quite right about that.
Yes, so you're saying it's Republicans?
Yeah, republicansforcharliebrown.net.
Okay.
And they just released information about that. They have just apparently launched a new website.
Okay. Republicans for CharlieBrown.net. Okay.
Yeah, and according to the Chronicle, to Greg Lucas, who one of you, you know, this is what I love about the listeners, they all rat each other out, said that Greg Lucas has deep Republican ties. So he's saying that Charlie's going to need a massive Republican crossover, and he's so close. I mean, if you got a few extra bucks, send it his way.
Oh, jeez. I thought, you know what's funny? I'm a very peace-minding person. We were driving along in, actually it was in Orangevale along, I think it was Madison, and about Hazel, or maybe a little farther back, and we saw a Doolittle Stands for Us sign. Oh, I wanted to get out and draw graffiti on it, say, Doolittle Stands on Us. it was so terrible. I had terrible thoughts.
Oh, good. Thank goodness for that.
Well, yes, but I tell you, oh, man, the things that the politics wants you to do or thinks you should do, and you really don't because, you know, you should be politically correct.
I don't know about that. I'm anti-political correctness, but that's me. Julian, I thank you very much for the call. 349-1320, that opens up one line. Linda in West Sac. Hi, live with Enid. Hi, Linda.
Hi. I also went to the event that Joe Wilson did, campaigning for Charlie Brown.
Last night in Davis?
This was a couple weeks ago. I didn't realize he was out again.
He was last night in Davis.
Oh, that's awesome. Joe Wilson is a Republican, and the event I went to was in downtown Sacramento. There were a lot of Republicans there. I don't think it's going to take a massive Republican crossover. It's just going to take enough. And I think they're out there, like you said, for that website. I think that was very helpful. And what Joe Wilson pointed out, when his wife was outed, that really hurt U.S. security because she was working, her whole group was working on tracking.
That's tracking weapons for Iran, right?
Exactly.
Nuclear weapons. And when you're doing this kind of undercover work, and you're doing it the way she was, which is no association at all ever revealed with our intelligence services, it takes you decades to develop that kind of a network. And now exposing it puts everybody's lives at risk, not only that, but the network at risk.
That's right. And Charlie Brown is a moderate. I'm an independent. My husband's an independent. We're not in his district, but we are actively working to support him because we feel he is moderate. He's right on the flood control issues, which do affect us where we live. And he's right on security. He's served his country for many, many years.
Yes, he did. And he's an honorable man, which is more than you can say for a Doolittle.
And you inspired me to go and make another donation.
Oh, good. Thank you. I'm sure they're thrilled. Thank you so much. I appreciate the call, Linda.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye. All right. So if you do it, if you got a few bucks extra laying around and you want to put it to good use, you can donate to charliebrownforcongress.org. Joni in Auburn. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Joni.
Hi, Enid. I'm not affiliated with any party, but I already sent in my absentee ballot, and I voted completely Democratic on my ballot.
And are you in Doolittle's district?
I'm in Auburn.
Okay, and who are you voting for Congress in Auburn? That would be Doolittle, isn't it? Or not?
Yeah, that would be Doolittle, but I voted for Charlie Brown.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Good girl, Joni.
Yeah, and there's nothing but Doolittle signs up here, I'll tell you.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, but see, that's it. When people call in Roseville, Granite Bay, they say, oh, it's a lot of Charlie Brown signs. But that's a lot of Bay Area people, a lot more moderate people. But up where you are and then keep going, I think you're in Doolittle territory.
Yeah, for sure.
Are you able to talk any of your friends into voting for Charlie?
Well, I've talked to a lot of friends. I have a lot of conservative friends that I've talked to about him, and I don't know if they will, but I hope so.
Well,
have to change things.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. You can't have these entrenched cancers, these entrenched, metastasized, corrupt Congress walking around, continuing to represent special interests, whoever pays them, pimping themselves out to the highest bidder. You just can't do it.
Yeah.
I thank you very much, Joni. 349-1320, 866-620-613-20, Frank in Roseville. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Frank.
Hi, Enid. Hey, where was this poll that I hear that Doolittle's supposed to be ahead? Where's that from?
I've never heard of that poll.
Oh.
What are you talking about? No. McNerney is ahead of Pombo.
No. This was a poll that someone else was saying that Doolittle's ahead.
Where did you hear this? It's the first I've heard about it, because the only poll I know about was done by Charlie's organization, and it's a statistical dead heat, and they have not seen any of the Doolittle polling, and the thinking is that he must be in trouble because, A, if he were ahead, don't you think they would reveal it? And, B, if he were ahead, well, what does he need Dickey to come in and raise more money for him?
Well, don't get mad at me, but your competitor was saying that. Your friendly competitor.
Oh, well, I haven't heard anything about it. I haven't heard anything about a Doolittle poll.
Okay, well, I live in Roseville, and like the other caller, I see nothing but...
And how many points ahead is Doolittle supposed to be?
I didn't hear that part. So.
Oh, Frank, you're
I'm
just...
Sorry.
You pledged monogamy. You have been cheating on me over with the competition.
Oh, for God's sakes,
Frank. But you bring us some interesting information. I have seen nothing, and I asked around at the event last night, and nobody from the event has seen. Now, maybe they wouldn't tell me if they had, but what's the spread supposed to be?
I don't know, but I saw my first Republican for Charlie Brown sign today. As I was taking, my wife and I took a walk today, and there was one Republicans for Charlie Brown sign, and all the signs I've seen in Roseville are Charlie Brown, except for on big fences and stuff like that. You'll see Doolittle signs on construction.
I don't think you can go by Roseville and the places where there's a lot of new Bay Area traffic.
But Roseville is the population center.
Oh, okay.
I mean, it's the population center for the county. It's the behemoth of Placer County.
Oh, okay. All right. See, I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah. I'm a pessimist, but I'm starting to get optimistic about this.
I'm getting optimistic about it, too. And you are voting for Charlie, and you're donating some dough?
Yeah. We've given money three times now. I've given to Charlie Brown.
Good.
He's got an office over here in historic old Roseville, and we got a sign, and we gave some money.
Good. He could use it. Because Doolittle's got way more than he does.
Oh, yeah.
And look how Doolittle got it.
Yeah, but I don't know about Auburn. But, you know, Auburn is Mike Holmes' territory, and Mike Holmes went against Doolittle in Auburn.
And won't endorse him.
And he won't endorse him, and that guy Kirby won't endorse him. So that's... you know, Kirby ran against him a few years ago, too, and neither one of them will endorse Doolittle. So I think that's significant.
I do too, and I hope that the word of if there's a Doolittle poll, I haven't heard about it, but we can Google that. I thank you very much for the call,
sure.
Frank. 349-1320, 866, 626, 1320. I'm Enid Goldstein, and you are listening to the Monday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel. Time now to check traffic and weather together from the left with Lisa West.
Oh, yes. Monday morning. It never looks so good. Southbound 99, just north of eastbound 47.
Morning?
Well, afternoon, but I mean, you should see the traffic over here. It's like a Monday morning. It's insane. You'd think that, well, yeah. Feels like a Monday morning. Lots of collisions all the way down Enid, southbound 99. We have one at Fruit Ridge, Elk Grove Boulevard, Laguna Boulevard, eastbound 90 just north, just west of Madison Avenue. We have a three-car crash. Westbound 50 just east of Bradshaw Road. That hit and run has become a three-car crash. Southbound 99 at eastbound 47th Avenue. Two-car crashes. Obviously, 99 is, well, you know what? I wouldn't go on there. If you can take I-5, because I have no incidents on 5-5. Take I-5 if you can. Madison Avenue at Wedge Circle, we have a pedestrian wandering around. Enid Live will continue at AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
I'm just going to say right now what we're not saying.
She's not right.
And let the chips fall.
But she's never wrong.
Let the chips fall. Let the chips fall where they may.
Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
New rule. Prince Harry is going to hurt someone. Look at this kid. He's a thundering ball of rage. His mom's dead. His father dates rotted tree bark. His brother gets to be king, and he's destined to spend the rest of his life being photographed doing nothing. Arrest him before he kills a woman. New rule. Country music stars can't be authors. Charlie Daniels' new book, Ain't No Rag, Freedom, Family, and the Flag. It's a collection of musings by noted white trash icon Charlie Daniels on subjects ranging from American flags to American flag bumper stickers to what to do to a hippie if you catch him trying to burn your flag. Before this book, I was ambivalent on the issue of flag burning. Now I find myself reconsidering the question of book burning.
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320. A little, miss a lot. Stay with Enid on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
On the Monday edition of Enid Live, I'm yours until 7. We're talking politics, specifically Doolittle Charlie Brown. Let's head over to the phone. Suzanne in Rancho. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Suzanne.
Hi, Enid. I was just going to the stations, and I happened to listen to your last caller mentioning the poll about Doolittle.
Yeah, I haven't heard anything about that. What do you know?
Well, I flipped over to Christine, and she was just mentioning someone called in and said that there was a 10-point, some poll, and I didn't pick up where, but that Doolittle had a 10-point lead, but she didn't know if it was accurate or not.
Well, so, the only polling that we have seen is Charlie's polling, which puts them in a statistical dead heat. So I don't know. I know that the guy was on trial recently, a Republican pollster, because he just sort of made things up. But I don't know anything about the Doolittle poll. And if he had a 10-point lead, it seems to me they'd be all over us with it.
Yeah, I don't believe it either, but I just thought I really hope
against hope that that's not the case.
Okay.
All right. Thank you, Suzanne. Right. I appreciate the call. 349-1320, 866-620, 613-20. Melanie in Grass Valley. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Melanie.
Hi there. Now I'm getting to an area where my phone's not going to pick up, so hopefully you can hear me.
Okay. Tell me quick because we don't have much time.
I've done an Auburn canvas for the Charlie Brown campaign and had good response even from the Republicans that we were mainly targeting. No one was, you know, you asked them whether they were happy with Doolittle, and no one was saying yes to that. And then I was in front of a grocery store outside Lake of the Pines area, and the same thing. A lot of Republicans that said either they had already voted and they were voting for Charlie Brown this year.
Can you remember a count? How many said they were voting for Charlie?
You know, I did it with another gentleman, and he had a real good response on Saturday. He said about 85% of the people he spoke to were happy and voting for Charlie.
KCTC, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Left Channel. And
streaming live at 1320leftchannel.com.
Jeffrey Skilling gets 24 years.
Jeff Skilling's leadership, or lack thereof, is what got Enron into the trouble.
Changing tactics in Iraq, but not the objective. I'm Mark Noller at the White House.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, late edition. I'm Bill Whitney. Quite a spectacle outside the federal courthouse in Houston. Two police horses escorted former Enron CEO Jeffrey Skilling to his day of reckoning. He was sentenced to 24 years and 4 months in prison for his role in the company's implosion. The judge heard from Enron employees who lost their jobs and their retirement savings, and as KTRH Radio's Tom Matthews reports, from Skilling himself.
Skilling continued to proclaim his innocence, telling the judge that he respectfully disagrees with the convictions and that he is not guilty of the charges.
Outside the courthouse, Skilling vowed to fight on.
We'll appeal the sentence. I think we have a good basis for appeal.
Former Enron Vice President Sharon Watkins blew the whistle on Enron's accounting fraud and says it's only fair that Skilling's been held accountable.
He was the CEO. He was the man at the helm through much of this fraud. And so for me, him getting 24 years, it is justice.
About $45 million of Skilling's remaining assets will be liquidated and put into a victim's compensation fund. Now this.
Some people think all insurance is the same. They buy the least expensive they can find, and then they have an insurance claim. That's when they learn the hard way that not all insurance companies treat you the same. If being treated fairly and paid quickly are important to you when you or your business has a loss, you want Chubb. When you insure with Chubb, you're buying real insurance. So insure with the best. Insure with Chubb. To learn more, go to Chubb.com.
It's here at Ford and Lincoln Mercury Dealerships, the Right Now Factory Authorized Service Event, with special offers on tires, brakes, batteries, and more. Right now, buy four select Goodyear tires and get an iTunes gift card valued from $50 to $100 or an iPod Nano. Genuine parts and service at Ford and Lincoln Mercury Dealerships. Hurry, it all ends soon. Call 1-877-310-3673 or see participating dealer for details through 11:30-06.
A U.S. Army translator in Baghdad is missing, and indications are that the soldier may have been kidnapped. Military officials say a search is underway. The southern Iraqi city of Amara is still out of control. Police have gone into hiding, while militiamen loyal to cleric Muqtada al-Sadr rule the streets, hunting down and killing members of a rival Shiite militia. The Bush administration portrays its new Iraq strategy as fine-tuning rather than a major overhaul. CBS News correspondent Mark Noller has the latest.
We're told by the White House that no dramatic shifts in policy on Iraq are coming. But President Bush is again making the case that U.S. tactics are constantly being adjusted. Interviewed on CNBC's Closing Bell, Mr. Bush described his weekend strategy session with U.S. commanders in Iraq.
The meeting went like this. We want to win. Yes, sir. What are we doing to adjust to the enemy? And here are some options, Mr. President. And my answer is, you choose, and I support you.
In fact, a spokesman says Mr. Bush has deliberately stopped using the phrase stay the course in Iraq to make clear that the course is dynamic and subject to constant shifts. Mark Noller, CBS News, the White House.
The Transportation Security Administration today issued orders to tighten the screening of air cargo on passenger flights. This comes after the TSA was confronted with the results of a CBS News investigation. Correspondent Armin Katayan explains how it worked.
We began by sending a CBS producer with a hidden camera to a shipping company near London's Heathrow Airport, armed with a lead-lined package that could hide a bomb, but in our case holds only high-speed film. The package is specially designed, so we'll be able to tell whether security has opened or X-rayed it. The super-sensitive film would show that.
The package got on an American Airlines flight to New York with 200 people aboard. Similar packages, six in all, were shipped on other flights, but only one was opened for inspection, and there's no evidence from the high-speed film that any of the packages was X-rayed. A TSA official says that doesn't mean the packages weren't inspected by explosive detection devices or by bomb-sniffing dogs. In Atlanta today, two men accused of plotting with a secretary at Coca-Cola to steal trade secrets from Coke pleaded guilty to one count of conspiracy each. Ibrahim Dimson and Edmund Dehaney are expected to testify against the former secretary, Joy Williams, who's scheduled to stand trial next month. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
Talk to Enid now, 349-1320.
Five minutes after 4 o'clock. Welcome to Hour 2 of Enid Live. I'm yours until 7, 3 to 7, weekdays on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel. You can join the conversation, and it's easy to do. Always toll-free, 349-1320 or 866-626-1320. A couple of things tomorrow. We'll be joined by Simon Winchester, distinguished author and journalist, live in studio. He's written a book now out in paperback, called A Crack in the Edge of the World, America and the Great California Earthquake of 1906. Hope there's a Great California Earthquake when it comes to the Charlie Brown Doolittle race. Anyway, it's a gripping account of the 8.25 earthquake that destroyed San Francisco. And Winchester's written a lot of books. Krakatoa is one of them. Professor and the Madman is another one. Wednesday, Jerry McNerney joins us. All of our guests are in the 4 o'clock hour, usually. So Jerry McNerney running against Pombo. Ahead in the polls slightly, but a statistical dead heat. He joins us on Wednesday. Thursday, best-selling author Tess Gerritsen, who is actually an MD, but writes these blockbuster thrillers. Her new book, The Mephisto Club, she's here because the book has been chosen by the Sacramento Bee Book Club, and she will be appearing there, but she joins us in, live in studio before that. And I think we've got some books that we're going to try and get her to sign and give them away to some of you if you're lucky that day. We've been talking about Doolittle. We've been talking about the fact that he testified on behalf of a sexual predator. And it may come out that there might be more testimony. It might not have been just the one time, but he might have done more on that dentist's behalf. And if that's the case, do you think it makes any kind of a difference, or it's got to be really a big, you know, pounding over your head kind of an event for Doolittle to lose some of his core support? The other question is, if you have been a victim of that dentist, that Doolittle testified to that man's good character, it's the dentist who was finally hauled off to the pokey for sexually abusing some of his patients who were under anesthetic when he was abusing them. Doolittle's testimony staved off the guy's, probably staved it off by quite a lot, is incarceration, because the guy just got a rap on the knuckles, was free to go out and abuse women again. So ultimately, he did go to the pokey. Ultimately, they did revoke his license, his dental license. But it took a lot longer, I think, than had Doolittle not testified to this guy's good character, never mind that the guy was a sexual predator. So it calls into question Doolittle's judgment, and it also calls into question his allegations about Charlie Brown, that just because Charlie's a member of ACLU, that somehow he's supporting NAMBLA. I'm sure that's not the case. The poll that some of you were talking about, I have it. It is a poll that says that Charlie's at 44%, allegedly interviews took place October 8th through 10th of this year, and that Doolittle's ahead 52% by 44% for Charlie. So I don't know quite how to interpret some of this polling. It says head-to-head 44 strong and 37 strong for Charlie. Bush approval, 46 approve, but 45 disapprove Charlie. Partisan identity, 50 Republican, 28 Democrat. So I don't know how this is going to shake out for Charlie, but and I don't know how accurate this poll is, and I don't know who these people are who have conducted the poll. But if this poll has any accuracy and there's a 3% margin of error, you have Doolittle at 52% and Charlie at 44%. Hope this poll's not accurate. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. Also, the San Francisco Chronicle saying that the district, the 4th Congressional District, is so heavily Republican, so heavily gerrymandered Republican, that Doolittle's going to be really tough to beat. Over the weekend, the San Francisco Chronicle endorsed Deborah Bowen for Secretary of State, which I think was really smart. I'm glad that they have done that. There's a story that ABC News is breaking on electronic voting machines and how they could skew the elections. Oh, really? Oh, when did that happen? Oh, were we asleep? And developers are pouring tons of cash into Placer County contests. They have dumped a lot of money into Rocky Rockholm's race and not very much money into Pauline. I don't know how to pronounce her name. I want to say Rakuchi. If that's those of you who know how to pronounce your name, tell me. And of the two, I would go with the candidate that the developers don't want to support. But that's me. I'm a contrarian, so I would go for Pauline Rocucci there if I'm saying it correctly. Somebody correct me if I'm not. 349-1320-866-626-1320. Katie and Chico, hi. You're live with Enid on AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel.
Hi, Enid. Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I just wanted to add a point on the Doolittle's congressional area. My parents retired to the Gray Eagle area. It's in the Sierra Nevadas, which is part of his area as well. It's a huge expanse, mileage-wise. And they've had quite a large population boom, mostly from Bay Area transplants, retirees that have all sold in the Bay Area and moved and built up in the hills up there. And the area went heavily in 2000 for Bush and Co., not quite as heavily in 2004, but it wasn't over moral issues. It was checkbook voting. This year, from what my dad is telling me, there's lots and lots of negatives. People are disgusted with Doolittle. Most of them still get the Chronicle, and if they don't get the Chronicle, they get the B. So they're well aware of what's going on.
Are these a lot of, you know, I know some people from Marin County that have a place up there, but their primary residence would be Marin County, so they wouldn't be voting. No, are you talking about people who have moved up there for good?
Oh,
and
yes, these are people who have retired and permanently moved up there.
Okay. And what percentage would you guess of that population they represent?
Well, I know just looking at the area where my parents are and with the new homes that were developed in that area, you're looking at about 200 homes that were developed that have been developed within the last 5 years. If that gives you any.
So these are people who would have typically voted Republican, you're saying?
Yeah, well, yeah, they're checkbook Republicans.
So a lot of people who are Doolittle supporters call in and they say taxes are the reason that they're going to support Doolittle, you know, not realizing that they're going to have to pick up the deficit one way or another, and they're going to
exactly.
have...
Exactly.
But, okay, so you're saying that these people who are typically checkbook Republicans are disgusted with Doolittle? Would they vote for Charlie, or are they just not going to vote at all?
No, they're going to go and vote. I mean, most seniors aren't going to give up their voting opportunity.
No, I mean, are they going to leave that particular office blank? Can they bring themselves
to vote? No, they're going to vote because they're understanding that whether you vote Republican or not, it's, you know, unless you're in the 500,000 tax bracket or higher, it's not going to affect your taxes anyways.
So you're telling me that the people who would normally have supported Doolittle are going to vote for Charlie, or are they just going to leave that particular race blank?
No, I'm hearing from my dad that there's much more of a Charlie Brown emphasis than a Doolittle emphasis. People are disgusted with Doolittle.
Oh, I hope you're...
And, you know, most people out there didn't even know anything about Doolittle. They just blindly voted for him.
Well, I hope you're right, Katie, but this new poll, if there's any validity to it, is troubling because the poll that Charlie conducted had a statistical dead heat. This has Doolittle ahead, and the funny thing is it has Doolittle ahead not from a couple of months ago, but from right now when more and more revelations have occurred.
Who produced that poll?
It's something called Majority Watch, and Majority Watch, a project of RT Strategies and Constituent Dynamics, and I don't know who they are.
I'm going to do a search on them and look them up. I check out a lot of polling, and I've never heard of them.
It's so called Majority Watch, and let me just see if I can give you, because somebody just sent me the website. Let me bring it up for you. It is the Brown Doolittle poll. It is, majoritywatch.com. That's all. MajorityWatch.com. So find out who are these people, and are they reputable, and are they Republicans, and who are they? Because there was a Republican polling outfit, that just got hauled off to the pokey because they just concocted these numbers out of thin air.
Well, exactly. That's what I was wondering.
But, you know, I'm sure that is too good to be true.
Obviously, Yeah, that sounds very, very skewed, especially from what you're hearing. So, yeah.
All right, so find out, and if you find out anything about it, call us back and let us know.
I will indeed. Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome, Katie, and thank you for the good news. 349-1320-866-626-1320. Did I tell you that you can always email me, enid@kctc.com? And we stream live, 1320leftchannel.com. Well, Phil Angelides, I think it's pretty much people. I know there are a lot of you who won't listen to me anymore because you don't like what I'm saying about Phil. There was a Wall Street Journal piece about Phil, and the news is so bad that what happens is his family hides the newspapers from him so that he doesn't get to see the news. There was a story in the Los Angeles Times. Well, before we get there, as long as we're talking about Phil, Schwartzy is giving millions to his campaign. And what's interesting is if he's as much ahead of Phil as we think he is, how come he's got a, you know, he could coast home free, or maybe he's not going to take that chance. I don't know. One poll, the Phil polls I've seen have Phil trailing by 8 points. Something here, I think, in the Chronicle says the latest polls have Schwartzy ahead by 15 points. Now, I have not seen that poll, but in any event, let me share some of the other information with you. Lieutenant Governor, with the top of the ticket all but decided, the race is where the party's attention and money has been going. Democrats figured early on that all they had to do was play off Republican nominee Tom McClintock's arch-conservative record in the ledge to get Insurance Commissioner Garamendi elected, but apparently that has not worked. The latest polls show Garamendi ahead by only 5 points. Only 5 points. Attorney General's race, it's over. Jerry Brown beats Senator Chuck Poochigian. So forget that. And I want to talk about Jerry Brown because there are some good observations about Jerry Brown that I want to share with you that we really don't see enough in politicians. So it's over. Jerry Brown's going to be the winner in the Attorney General's race. Remember, his dad was Attorney General. Insurance Commissioner, best known for taking gobs of Indian gaming money in the recall race and then gobs of insurance money in the current fray. Democratic Lieutenant Governor Cruz Bustamante could be headed for a fall in his race against Republican mega-zillionaire Steve Poizner. Well, of the two, I have to tell you, I'm going to support Poizner. Because the fact that Cruz is taking money from the industries that he's going to regulate, and he says he's going to give that money back, and he really hasn't given very much of it back, is not a really perky sign. I think we want people who, even if they don't have any integrity, at least look like they've got a little bit. Treasurer. It's going to go to Bill Lockyer, we think. In the game of Sacramento musical chairs, former East Bay State Assemblyman turned state senator turned Attorney General Bill Lockyer is expected to get the voters' nod for the job over Republican rival Claude Parrish. Controller, neck and neck between John Chang and Republican Tony Strickland. You want John Chang. C-H-I-A-N-G. That is who you want. He's not the most polished of speakers, but he would probably be better than his Republican counterpart. Secretary of State. Another neck and necker. The last we heard, Democratic State Senator Deborah Bowen, the only woman from either party running for one of the constitutional offices, was ahead by 2 points against GOP incumbent Bruce McPherson, too close to call. And over the weekend, the San Francisco Chronicle endorsed Deborah McPherson. So we are supporting her, and particularly in the issues of voting machines, because she is interested in those issues. She wants a clean and honest election, and I don't think you can say that of Bruce McPherson. I want to talk for a moment about Jerry Brown, California's marathon man. The LA Times did a piece about Jerry Brown. And the thing that emerges about Jerry Brown is something that we really don't see in politicians anymore very much. And it's startling when you look at it, because there was a time that you did see it. You saw it in leaders in general. You saw it in broadcast, maybe. You saw it in certain industries, maybe. And you did see it in politics more often than you see it now. He is a politician who doesn't look to focus groups and the research for how he's going to, what he believes on certain issues. He's what the authors David Reisman and Nathan Glazer once called in their book, The Lonely Crowd, if you ever had to read that in school. He was an inner-directed man. In other words, some people favor polls and they favor surveys over their own values and their experience and their insight. But I think that real leaders govern from some inside place. where they have a good sense, a good gut, a good sense of intuition, a good sense of the realities of things. They did some research a few years back, and they found that people who were the most successful in their businesses and in their lives, and they did it with flashcards, I think, were people who had a good sense of intuition and who acted on it. I think we're probably all intuitive. But I think a lot of us don't always act on that gnawing gut feeling. You know, you'll hear people say who have been crime victims, you know, I had a feeling that something wasn't right and I should have acted on it. At the same time, you hear other people who say, you know, I had a feeling I shouldn't take that flight and I'm really glad I didn't. Or I had a feeling that something wasn't going to work out and I had a feeling that I should do this instead of that. You know, so people who are really good leaders have a vision, they have a sense of inner values, they have a good gut, and they put it all together. And Jerry Brown is kind of the last of that mode, I think. And I'm sort of glad that he's going to be Attorney General. Jeff in Loomis, hi, you're live with Enid on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel. Hi, Jeff.
Hey, there's a story again today that they actually filed a lawsuit against Brown because he hasn't practiced law for a couple years now.
That's an old story. That was from last week, and a lot of legal scholars say they don't think that's going to go anywhere, but we'll see. What's your thought?
I don't know. I would suspect that the guy is going to run for an office. I just would assume that he would have known what's going on, but then again...
He was admitted, Jeff, to the bar in 1965.
Yeah.
And it's a matter of just paying your dues. It doesn't alter whether you're admitted or you're not admitted. It's when you pay your dues, everything gets up to speed, and if you don't, then it isn't.
Well, I just would assume, I don't know, I would just wish that both sides would follow the rules, because if the rule...
He did. He reactivated about 3 or 4 years ago.
But he's not practicing, and there's...
No, it's not about practicing. It isn't about... Read the terms of the lawsuit. It isn't about whether you are practicing or not. It's whether you're admitted before the bar. That's the critical information. Get it right, Jeff. You don't have it right. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. I'm Enid Goldstein, and you are listening to the Monday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel. Time now to check traffic and weather together from the left with Lisa West.
Thank you so much, Enid. We have lows tonight right around 54. Highs just absolutely gorgeous for the next couple of days. 80, 81, 82. We're sitting at 81 here in the River City. Southbound 99 is looking pretty grim. Just north of eastbound Elsie there at southbound 99. We have a two-car crash eastbound 50 just east of 5th Street. A two-car crash northbound I-5 just south of Seamus. We have three incidences within a mile of each other right there. Eastbound I-5 just east of Madison Avenue. Two vehicles and southbound 99 just north of Calvine Road. The three-car crash has stopped traffic in the first and second lanes. So you might want to slow down right there. Enid Live continues at AM 1320 Sacramento's left channel.
According to Enid, we'll set you free.
Really?
Call her now at 349-1320.
Hello, hi, how are you?
The morning.
New rule, one dear to my heart. Lap dancing is a First Amendment right. The L.A. City Council this week banned lap dancing. What is next, burning books? Lap dancers, or Imagineers, as I like to call them. Artists drawing you into their fantasy world, much like a skilled novelist does. If novelists had perfectly waxed bikini lines. But more importantly, lap dancers are expressing an idea called hope. The hope that someday a skinny young woman with artificial breasts and a navel piercing will want to have sex with you. And without that hope, millions of American men might just as well throw themselves into the sea.
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320.
Sunny day with tonight's AccuTerra forecast.
And folks, wasn't it just a perfect day for a terror alert? Bone chilling in the morning, clear and present danger in the afternoon, tapering off into cold sweats at night. Tomorrow, AccuTerra is predicting 100% chance of a really big terror alert to take our mind off bad economic news. An Al-Qaeda cell coming down from Canada into here, the Great Lakes region, for folks in the Detroit and Saginaw. You might want to put on an extra layer of Kevlar. Our exclusive AccuTerra radar is picking up a lot of chatter out here in the Denver area, so stay away from chemical plants, nuclear facilities, facilities, and, of course, the French fries at Arby's. Here in the West, some light showers of ammonium nitrate or a little sarin gas are possible in the Los Angeles area, but don't expect loss of life. The Santa Anas are going to push all that nasty gunk out of it. Here's your 5-day. Yellow, bluish yellow, yellow again, yellow gradually becoming orange, and orange back into yellow. And we've got an orangish red weekend on tap, so be sure to have plenty of bottled water and canned goods on hand. And that's fair. All right, make it a great day.
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320.
New rule. Jewish people have to start... The Jewish population in America dropped 5% in the last decade, which may explain why this country's finances have gone to... Breed, you sons of Abraham, breed! We need you. Israel needs you. Kobe Bryant, Robert Blake, and Phil Spector need you. Without Jews, who's going to write all those sitcoms about blacks and Hispanics? Living in a box for 6 weeks doesn't make you a magician, it makes you homeless.
Laughing at the truth, AM 1320. Talk to Enid now, 349-1320.
On the Monday edition of Enid Live, I'm yours until 7, 3 to 7 weekdays on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel. Now, this is a News 10 report, and let's see, he's facing the toughest re-election campaign of his political career, but an exclusive News 10 survey, USA poll, shows Deep Doolittle maintains a strong lead in the 4th Congressional District race. A survey of 581 likely voters has Doolittle at 51% support, with Charlie Brown at 41%. So there are a number of polls out. The poll was conducted between October 20 and 22, has a margin of error plus or minus 4.1%. This poll confirms one thing, said Brown's communications director, that John Doolittle is facing the closest election he's ever had. Well, that's a nice way of spinning it. Doolittle's campaign spokesman said that the eight-term congressman has a comfortable lead and is confident he will win re-election in November. You know, here's what has to happen between now and the election. The indictment, the Department of Justice indictment, has to come down on Deep Doolittle's head is what's got to happen, but it probably won't happen. This district doesn't elect liberal Democrats, said Doolittle campaign spokesman. It doesn't elect them dog catcher, and it doesn't elect them to Congress, he said. The 4th Congressional District is one of the fastest growing districts in the state and arguably the most conservative. Republicans make up 48% of registered voters. Democrats make up 30%. The district encompasses Placer, Nevada, El Dorado, Lassen, Modoc, Plumas, and Sierra counties, Orangevale and Sacramento County, and the Oroville area and Butte County. The district has traditionally been considered a safe Republican seat, but political analysts say Doolittle's connection to the Jeb Abramoff corruption case makes his reelection campaign more difficult this year. He admits he's hired an attorney to talk with the Justice Department in connection with the Washington corruption probe, but insists he is not the target of a federal corruption investigation. So let me clarify that language for you. The DOJ, Department of Justice, only sends you a target letter when the indictment is about to come down. So saying that you are not, quote, the target of investigation is meaningless and is trying to exonerate you and get you off the hook when, if you have to spend $50,000 on attorney's fees for them to deal with the Department of Justice prosecutors, you've got a very serious matter on your hands. And you cannot say that you're not the target of an investigation, except if you're parsing your, you know, it depends on what the meaning of is, unless you're parsing your words quite narrowly. So Doolittle in this poll is ahead 51 to 41. In this other poll that I have, conducted by RT Strategies, he's ahead 52 to 44. The 51-41 has a 4.1% margin of error. The 52-44, which is only 8 points, has a margin of error 3.09%, roughly 3%. So now is the time, if you want to volunteer, money, time, this is the stretch for Charlie. So for him to have, and you know, I really felt sorry for him last night. This was about the third or fourth event that he was attending in Davis last night with Ambassador Wilson, and he still had an event to go. So his days are long, and I really wish that numbers were better. So how come the polling was so close some weeks back, and how has it changed so substantially when, in fact, there have been more revelations about Doolittle? 349-1320, 866-626-1320. And what we're also talking about is Jerry Brown, an older mode of politician that we don't see anymore, somebody who's not looking to the focus groups to determine what he believes in. And this is what I want to say about Arnold. Arnold, it is said about Arnold, is that he is the victim of the last person who whispered into his ear. This is a guy who has no core beliefs. His only core belief is how can he get ahead? How can he get a better gig? How can he retain the governorship for 4 more years? That's what Arnold's core belief system revolves around. And he will do whatever it takes. If you want him to perform like a trained SEAL and pretend to be a Democrat until the election's over, he'll do that. Somebody said it looks like he dipped his head in a vat of Tang. It's true, doesn't it? He's all orange. The makeup is orange. The hair is orange. It was reported over the weekend that Arnold had a presidential level high-tech campaign machine, and they go on to talk about this. It's before dawn in downtown Sacramento. And all that is stirring are birds, garbage collectors, and a handful of young coffee-fueled campaign workers already at work for a candidate. Some call a redeemer, some call a villain, and everyone calls a phenomenon. Can a prominent Latino Republican, they ask, go on Univision in half an hour to address Schwartz's remarks on immigrant assimilation for a morning audience? Done. Can he also press the governor's case on Telemundo and then on a Spanish-language radio network that reaches hundreds of thousands of listeners in the state's fastest-growing voter group? Done. Then the group of mostly 20-somethings begins its daily charge, surveying front pages of major newspapers, monitoring blogs, calling reporters, checking in with morning TV producers and talk show hosts, and lining up an army of surrogates around the state who will speak to the media as supporters and as spokespeople for Arnie. It's all in a day's work for the communications staff in an ambitious campaign machine to reelect California's Republican governor, one that analysts say is among the most technologically advanced and effective that they've ever seen in the state. And I don't know how many times I can say it. I had lunch. I was in Marin County over the weekend, and I had lunch with friends who are normally, I think, pretty liberal. And one of them said, I don't know who she's going to vote for governor, but she said, ooh, Phil, he's not, you know. And I said, how can you go for Arnold? Arnold is all show. He's all hat and not much cattle. And Phil is somebody who's talked, you know, and thought about policy. But of the two, there's no question, Arnold's marketing is way better. Arnold is running a very slick campaign with people who have worked for Rove and for Cheney, and they have tremendous technological resources at their command, the kind that you don't usually see in a state race. And they are going to town, and they have a rapid response team, and they are working every single thing that they can. They have communication specialists. All of them are younger than the age of 32, including those who are ensuring that California's booming regional and trade media, anyone outside the Capitol Press Corps, from campus publications to agricultural magazines, has as much access and insight to the campaign as the mainstream political reporters. They are monitoring TV and electronic campaign coverage in 12 media markets daily and keeping in contact with TV producers, talk show hosts, and bookers to provide interviews and information to shape the coverage. They are directing the surrogate operations and getting them before the media to press the governor's message. And it goes on and on and on. And we could hardly even be on Phil's email blast list. So they were sort of, they're just into the soup. They had a better candidate. but they didn't have better marketing. And it turns out, and Dickey is the best example of this, you can have somebody who's completely incognizant, who has a short attention span, who knew almost nothing about governing or government when he ascended to the presidency, but the marketing campaign was so slick that people didn't seem to notice. It took him about 6 years to most people to figure it out. So here is Angelidis saying that he's talking, Phil is talking about Arnold, and he says that he's like the Santa Ana winds of blowhards. Well, that's very nice. But the question is, if Phil's not going to make it, to what extent will the down-ballot races be affected? I'm thinking not that great an extent, but maybe I'm too optimistic. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. We're talking about the kind of candidate who believes his gut, not what the polls tell him that he's supposed to say or believe. Arnold is from the poll-driven school of behavior. That's why he didn't go for SB 848, universal health care, because the polling showed that not that many people were interested in it, although I don't think that that's correct. But that's what the polls showed, according to Dan Walters. So he's poll-driven. He's driven by whatever it takes to win. There are no core beliefs. But with Jerry Brown, you have somebody who's interdirected, who's not relying on the polls, but is relying on his own sense of values, his own gut. And I don't think we see that kind of politician anymore. And I think Jerry Brown is so quirky anyway. I think it's great that he's going to win the attorney generalship. I don't know what that means exactly for the state of California, but it should be high theater, if nothing else. I'm Enid Goldstein, and you are listening to the Monday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. Time now to check traffic and weather together from the left with Lisa West.
Thank you very much. Our weather is just absolutely gorgeous today. I can't believe it. 54, highs 81 tomorrow. We are sitting at 81. Traffic slowed down southbound 99 on several spots. 47, 12, Elk Grove Boulevard, let's see. Before we get there, Fruit Ridge, Laguna, Sheldon, and Elk Grove Boulevard. Very slow. Traffic accidents all the way down the highway there. Watt Avenue just north of Freedom Park. Northbound I-5 just south of Seamus, and eastbound I-5 just east of Madison Avenue. We have a couple car crashes. Enid Live will continue at AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Enid Goldstein, a sign of intelligent life in the political universe. On AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
There's big news.
I wanted it all. Intelligence, great looks, physical strength, inner beauty, even social consciousness. Friends said that I wanted too much, but I wouldn't settle. And now, I have it all.
This woman is talking about her Renewal by Anderson replacement windows from Hall's Window Center. If it looks better, lasts longer, and outperforms the competition, it's gotta be Anderson. The only windows and doors to receive Green Seal certification for energy efficiency and environmentally friendly manufacturing. Now you too can have it all. For a limited time, get 7 Renewal by Anderson windows and 1 Anderson PermaShield patio door from Hall's Window Center for just $69.95. Left Channel listeners save an extra $150. Go to HallsWindowCenter.com. Click on the green seal for your coupon. Visit Hall's Window Center today on Business Park Drive in Sacramento and now in Roseville on Roseville Parkway next to BJ's. Call 1-800-76-HALLS. Smud financing available. Some restrictions apply. Offer ends September 30th.
At Cache Creek Casino Resort, win fast, win often with Cache Fever Jackpot. Jackpots start at $20,000 and are guaranteed to hit by $30,000. Every time a Cache Fever jackpot hits, a Cache Club player wins just for playing with their card. Plus, you can check the Cache Fever jackpot total and your Cache Club points online now at CacheCreek.com. So join Cache Club today and get the fever. Cache Creek Casino Resort.
The color pink represents the promise to find a cure for breast cancer. That promise started the Susan G. Komen Breast Cancer Foundation and ignited the passion of millions to create a world without breast cancer. October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month. We are reaching out to you to make a difference this month by making a personal donation to the Komen Foundation and by showing your passion for the cure by wearing pink one or more days in October. Anything you can do to heighten the awareness of this cause can make a difference. To share your promise and to donate funds to our passion, log on to 1320 Left Channel.
Hey, listen.
listen up. What about your future? Are you unhappy with your current job? You want to make great money and get the promotion you deserve? Now's the time. Explore your options. Log on to sackjobs.com and post your resume today. That's sackjobs.com. Post your resume and have local employers find you now. New companies being added each day and hundreds of jobs are being added each week. So if you're in the market for a job, sackjobs.com is a click away. At sackjobs.com, you're on your way to a better day.
The line is forming to the left. It's Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel.
On the Monday edition of Enid Live, I'm yours until 7, 3 to 7 weekdays on AM 1320 Sacramento's left channel. And you can join the conversation at 349-1320, 866-626-1320. We're talking about a lot of things. We're talking about these variety of polls. One poll has Doolittle ahead of Charlie by 10 points. Another poll has Doolittle ahead by about 8 points. The margin of error is 3 in one poll and 4 percentage points in the other. I don't know what this means other than you better just get out there and start writing checks and rolling up your sleeves and volunteering money and time. Gabriel in Roseville, hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Gabriel.
Hi. I'm a drywaller out in the area of Charlie Brown and Doolittle, and all I see is Charlie Brown everywhere. I wonder where they did the polling from.
Well, just because, you know, if this polling, we've got two polls now. One has got an 8-point lead, Doolittle on an 8-point lead, and one has a 10-point lead. Charlie's own polling had it at a dead heat, pretty much a statistical dead heat, weeks ago, and that was before the debate, which was not favorable to Doolittle, I didn't think, and before more revelations about Doolittle's draft-dodging ways and his testimony on behalf of a sexual predator and more information that he's being investigated by the Justice Department. It seemed only, if these polls are correct, to increase his lead. So I am mystified.
Yeah, because I don't go out to the Tulies. I don't go out to, like, Grass Valley and those areas in there. But in Folsom, Roseville, Rockland, those areas in there, I'm all over their neighborhoods, and I have not seen a single Doolittle sign, and there's just hundreds of Charlie Brown.
Is it possible that all these Doolittle supporters don't feel like they've got to put a sign out? They don't want to put a sign out, but when they go into the polling place, they will just, press the button for Doolittle.
Yeah. My father-in-law had a Doolittle sign out in front, and he took his down because he's not sure he wants to vote for a guy where if he gets indicted, that district may be unrepresented for a while.
Well, they're going to have a special election, which is extremely expensive. It's very expensive to do that. So can you talk your father-in-law into voting for Charlie, or at least not voting for Doolittle?
I think I can vote him. I mean, he's very Republican. I can probably vote him not to vote for Doolittle, but Charlie, that may be a little bit of a stretch.
I can't believe that anybody would vote for Doolittle. Why
yeah.
would he want to vote for a man who's so corrupt?
Well, he's just a straight-ticket voter, but he has taken the sign down.
He has taken the sign down. Well, maybe many people are taking the sign down, and when they go into the voting booth, they'll make their choice in private.
Yeah.
They'll be voting for somebody who testifies on behalf of sexual predators.
Yeah.
When he isn't being a financial predator.
Yeah. Well, Doolittle is known as a financial predator around here, too.
Well, he's a money pimp. That's what he is.
Yeah.
He's kind of a whore for Doolittle. You know, he wants what's good for Doolittle. For the district, he's managed to carve out a place for himself with deep roots, a lot of support. I don't know, people maybe weren't paying attention, or they're so busy looking at their own wallets that they don't notice that Doolittle is fattening his wallet at everybody else's expense. Gabriel, I thank you for the call.
Thank you.
Work your father-in-law over, will you?
Okay,
thank you. And those of you, if these polls are correct, and there are two of them, so, you know, I don't care how many signs are out there, this is troubling. 52% for Doolittle, 44% for Charlie in one poll, 10 points different, 51 and 41 in another poll. And these were just conducted. One was conducted in early October. One was just conducted in the week of the 20-something, 20 and October 22. So you've just got, if you are a Charlie Brown supporter, you got to roll up your sleeves, volunteer both time and money, because he's in the stretch and he needs your help. And I hope that an indictment comes down on Doolittle's head, you know, right before Election Day. That would be a very karmically nice thing to happen. One of the other things that we have been discussing is PG&E and the smut issue. And I don't know why anybody who's living in that the area affected would want to have PG&E when they could have smut. I just don't get it. PG&E has got to satisfy its shareholders, and that means it's got to make a profit, and that means you're going to pay more money. SMUD is a municipal owned utility district, and it doesn't have to satisfy shareholders, and it's going to be far less expensive. And energy is such an issue now. I mean, I haven't shared with you all this. There's a tremendous amount of information on rate re-regulation and on what the energy companies have done and how they've made all this money for themselves. Let me just share the latest, and there have been other issues as well. But we are looking at a situation not very far in the future where energy is going to be sky high in terms, you know, like electricity, heating energy, and so on. It's going to be sky high, and it's going to be sort of scarce. Four big investment firms in deregulations, the power plants sold off, you know, for nickels on the dollar to investment groups that made a ton of money and then turned right around and charged us a fortune for the energy that we were paying relatively stabilized and very, very decent rates for. Four big investment firms bought a group of Texas power plants in 2004 for $900 million and sold them the next year for almost $6 billion. They bought these for $900 million, and a year later they flipped them and sold them for almost $6 billion. Sempra Energy, parent of the utility in San Diego, bought 9 Texas power plants with 2 partners for $430 million, selling 2 of them less than 2 years later for more than $1.6 billion. They bought 4 for $430 million. They sold half of them and got $1.6 billion less than 2 years later. Goldman Sachs and his partners bought power plants in upstate New York, Pennsylvania, and Ohio starting in 1998 and sold them 3 years later at a profit of more than $1 billion. These extraordinary profits have come during a decade-long effort in about half the states to overhaul the business of producing electricity in the name of stimulating competition and lowering utility bills. But even as some investors have profited handsomely by buying and sometimes quickly reselling power plants, electricity customers who were supposed, and that would be you and me, who were supposed to be the biggest beneficiaries of the new system, have not fared so well. Not only have their electricity rates not fallen, in many cases, they are rising even faster than the prices of the fuels used to make the electricity. Those increases stand in contrast to the significantly lower prices in other businesses in which competition was introduced, such as airlines and long-distance calling. So, let me give you this again. Not only have electricity rates not fallen, have our electricity rates fallen? And we just didn't remember that they fell? No. In many cases, they're going up even faster than the cost of the fuels used to make the electricity. Those increases stand in contrast to the significantly lower prices in other business in which competition, you know, in deregulation or competition was introduced. Airlines, for example. Long-distance calling, a lot cheaper since there's been more competition. But not in terms of energy. Some electricity customers are also being saddled with monthly surcharges to cover construction costs for plants that were sold at bargain prices and then resold at huge profits. Some of these surcharges are going to continue for years. So the system didn't function the way it was supposed to function. It was supposed to make electricity and energy costs lower for us. And instead, it has raised those costs dramatically. And there are going to be shortages in the future, and there's still a lot of manipulation going on. So why that there isn't a movement afoot to make that a real issue, I don't get. Because everybody gets a monthly, you know, politicians are always talking about chicken in every pot. Everybody gets a monthly utility bill. Some of us get several of them. Sometimes you get one for your gas, and sometimes you get one for your electricity, and they are not the same purveyor or provider. And the prices have only gone through the roof. And should this be a tough winter, which I don't think it's projected to be, but if, because we have global warming, but if it becomes a tough winter, you're going to see people screaming. 349-1320, and a lot of people who are on fixed incomes really distressed. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. I'm Enid Goldstein, and you're listening to the Monday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. Time now to check traffic and weather together from the left with Lisa West.
Thank you so much. Southbound 99 just hasn't let up. In fact, at Calvine Road, Southbound 99 at Calvine, we do have a three-car crash, two of them over there. Southbound 99, eastbound 47th Avenue. Franklin Boulevard and Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard, we have a three-car crash stopping things down to get back up on 99. And westbound I-80 at Reed Avenue, we have a two-car crash. Enid Live will continue. We're at 81 at AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Talk radio for the left of us. It makes it so much more interesting for the listener.
Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Boxcar betting is...
About gas prices. It's good that it costs a lot, and not just because the sales tax will help pay for our twice-a-year governor elections. It's also good if it makes you think of walking the three blocks from your house to Del Taco instead of taking the Land Cruiser. Gasoline costs a lot because we have to find it, bribe or kill the people who live on top of it. Extract it, refine it, ship it, and pump it. You'll pay $2 a gallon, and you'll like it because you know what the alternative is. Riding on the bus with poor people. New rule. Call things what they are. If your morning coffee contains crushed ice, whipped cream, and caramel, it's a milkshake.
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320.
I wanted it all. Intelligence. Great looks, physical strength, inner beauty, even social consciousness. Friends said that I wanted too much, but I wouldn't settle. And now, I have it all.
This woman is talking about her Renewal by Anderson replacement windows from Hall's Window Center. If it looks better, lasts longer, and outperforms the competition, it's gotta be Anderson. The only windows and doors to receive Green Seal certification for energy efficiency and environmentally friendly manufacturing. Now you too can have it all. For a limited time, get 7 Renewal by Anderson windows and 1 Anderson PermaShield patio door from Hall's Window Center for just $69.95. Left Channel listeners save an extra $150. Go to HallsWindowCenter.com. Click on the green seal for your coupon. Visit Halls Window Center today on Business Park Drive in Sacramento and now in Roseville on Roseville Parkway next to BJ's. Call 1-800-76-HALLS. SMUD financing available. Some restrictions apply. Offer ends September 30th.
The Morning Retort with Scott and Sim.
To understand it.
Miss Romney.
What drives people?
Massachusetts governor. If he can't protect his own citizens from tunnels, how will he protect you from terrorists? Done. Campaign is dead. See how easy it was?
It was that easy.
See, that's the problem on the left. You're the problem right there. You got all, you think you get all the answers to the, all the little questions that does not drive a lot of people outside of California, outside of both coasts, outside of California and New York. Northeast. I mean, this is not the world. This is not
Romney
the center of the universe, Mr. Sims.
Mitt Romney gets the nomination. The tunnels win. Think about it. Tourists?
Terra, Earth, tunnels.
Do the math, Scott!
It's very erotic. I'm being turned on by all this talk.
Scott and Sims, mornings 5:30 to 9 on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
For a good time, call Enid at 349-1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
On the Monday edition of Enid Live, I'm yours until 7, 3 to 7 weekdays, Monday through Fridays on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. We're talking about a lot of things. We're talking about these two polls. One has Doolittle ahead of Charlie Brown by about 10 points. The other has him ahead by 8 points. We're talking about the power grid reports that there are some dark days ahead. And this is spurred by, you know, if you have a choice between PG&E and SMUD, and I'm hearing that it sounds like it's a neck and neck race right now, you would be crazy to go for PG&E when you could go for SMUD. Your bills will be much lower, I'm sure, with SMUD than with PG&E. Did I say it right? You're crazy to go for PG&E when you could go for SMUD. Bob, in Sacramento. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Bob.
Yeah, hi, Enid. I just want to make a comment, sort of like how you're going all across the board. Keep in mind, Channel 10 did one of those polls before the Foley scandal on the Charlie Brown Doolittle race, and ABC has really been notoriously bad on how they've done their polls. I remember in the last election they had Bush ahead by 4% over Kerry, and it wasn't, you know, it was something like 2% that he won by. Also in the Gore when he was ahead by 3%.
Yeah, but you know what? Let me advise erring on the side of caution. Instead of saying this can't possibly be right, what if it is right? And maybe it's a good catalyst for rolling up your sleeves and, you know, really just getting your behind in gear and going for it.
I totally agree. I don't live in the district. As I told you before, I went up there and put up a bunch of signs, and I actually had people help me put up signs in Placerville. And I agree with that guy. Roseville is where you really want to get the votes, and I do believe the guy who called in and said that Roseville is a, you know, Bay Area transplant place, and I just can't imagine them voting for Doolittle. At least the Bay Area people next to Boston.
Yeah, but why are these polls, and why does one have an 8-point lead, and why does one have a 10-point lead?
Because Rasmussen in the last election had Bush ahead by 13% the night before the election. That's why. You got to look at the source of the poll. I think there's a lot of fed up disgust out. This is anecdotal, but I can smell it. I can feel it when I say Annie Bush remarks at places. I don't get as many kickbacks as I did in 2002. In 2004.
Well, I feel it too, Bob, but I hope it's enough. And my sense is that Charlie has a very good chance here. He might really do it, but I'm so surprised at these numbers.
I think the thing is, like, is to just remain positive. And the thing is, sooner or later, Doolittle's going to get indicted. I mean, what he did. There's a guy who called you last week named Stan. I listen to your show. I don't try to call in all the time because there's a lot of people are more confused than I am, and I'm confused enough. But a guy named Stan who called up and says, I find it preposterous that Doolittle would support a pedophile dentist, et cetera, et cetera. And he was really, you can tell this guy was a dyed-in-the-wool Republican, sort of like my granddad used to be. But the fact is, this guy took nearly $300,000 from a lobbyist, which was paid to him by a guy who's a big Asian pimp. I mean, Victor Tan basically didn't want to raise the wages of these garment industries he owned, and he had these women doubling up as whores at night. I'm sorry to use the word, but it's a word. And he's the guy that gave Abramoff and his buddy, his fellow lobbyist, so much of the money.
1320 KCTC, Sacramento's Left Channel. Streaming live at 1320leftchannel.com.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. Former Enron chief executive Jeffrey Skilling has been sentenced to more than 24 years for his role in the company's collapse. A stiff penalty, but small comfort for this former Enron employee.
We are still victims. Jeff Skilling's, I guess, weapon of choice was his greed.
Skilling told the Houston judge he feels remorse over the pain suffered by Enron employees and others, but insisted he's no criminal. Outside the courthouse, Skilling was asked about the sentence.
I'm obviously not happy about it. I've got three children. I want to, you know, like anybody else, I'd like to spend time with my children. I believe, I mean, deep down, this is no act or anything. I believe I'm innocent.
He'll appeal, and for the time being, he's free. Skilling confirmed to reporters that he's been fitted with an ankle bracelet.
Yes, I have. So you guys will know where I am at any time. I don't know if there's a website you can call out and find out where I am, but I'll be at home.
His remaining assets, worth about $60 million, will be liquidated. $45 million goes to a victim's compensation fund. The rest goes to his lawyers. In Atlanta, two of the three people accused of plotting to steal trade secrets from Coca-Cola have entered guilty pleas. Reporter Pete Combs was there.
Ibrahim Demson and Edmund Duhaney admitted in court today they tried to sell Coke secrets to Pepsi in a pot plot that fizzled when Pepsi blew the whistle. Federal prosecutor Randy Chartash.
The government is satisfied, very satisfied with these two pleas.
Chartash says Duhaney cut a deal with prosecutors. He'll get a reduced sentence for helping the woman both men say masterminded the corporate espionage plot. Former Coke worker Joya Williams. In court today, both men said she told them she could make them all a lot of money. Pete Combs, CBS News, Atlanta.
The Bush administration says there's no dramatic change, but it's refining tactics in the Iraq war and in what's said about the war.
I'm Mark Noller at the White House. You won't be hearing President Bush use the phrase stay the course anymore when talking about his policy on Iraq. Spokesman Tony Snow says President Bush deliberately stopped saying it in the belief it gave the wrong impression that U.S. policy is static, when in fact he says American tactics in Iraq are constantly changing.
Officials confirm they're setting benchmarks for progress by the Iraqi government, but insist there are no ultimatums involved. A CBS News investigation may have prompted the Transportation Security Administration to order tighter screening for cargo on passenger flights. Correspondent Armin Katayan did the story.
For all the screening that's done of the passengers and all the efforts to really protect the pilots in a cockpit, there isn't really much being done right now for all the cargo that's going into these planes. At most, only 15% of the billions of pieces of cargo and billions of pounds of cargo around the world are being inspected.
Of six packages shipped by CBS News, only one was opened and none appeared to have been X-rayed. On Wall Street, a big day. The Dow Industrials shot up 114 points to 12,116. This is CBS News.
Hi, I'm Bill Lester, driver of the number 23 Waste Management NASCAR Nextel Cup car, and this is my team. Actually, I'm backed by 30,000 Waste Management drivers, and we're looking for even more people who are ready to make a difference. So if you're geared up for a career that's going places, call Waste Management at 877-220-JOBS. Go ahead and call.
From everyday collection to environmental protection, think green, think Waste Management. Call 877-220-JOBS today.
Does a promise come with an expiration date? Is it good for a day, a year, 30 or 50 years? At New York Life, we make promises that have no expiration date. And when we make a promise, we live by it. The promise to pay a claim, to provide for and protect a family. It is why New York Life is built on the unshakable values of financial strength, integrity, and humanity. Keeping our promises is why New York Life is the company you keep.
To say someone's feeling no pain generally means they're inebriated, but sometimes it's just the way they are. Researchers have discovered a gene that appears to provide some protection from pain, and they say there's a mutation that makes a small percentage of us exceptionally insensitive to pain. With the sniffle season setting in, health experts say it might be a good idea to stop shaking hands till spring.
There's obviously the potential to spread the virus by handshaking. Having said that, I'm not at all certain as to how commonly that serves to be a mechanism of spread.
Dr. Andrew Seymour at Sunnybrook Health Sciences Center in Toronto points out that in some cultures where people bow instead of shake hands, there doesn't seem to be any difference in the amount of virus being spread around. But eat your vegetables. A study in Chicago found that veggies help keep the brain young and might help slow the mental decline associated with aging. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
Some people.
More buzz than an afternoon caffeine break. It's Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel. A liberal dose of the truth applied daily.
Never thought that I knew too much. I always thought I knew.
Five minutes after 5 o'clock, you are listening to the Monday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 7, 3 to 7 weekdays on AM 1320 Sacramento's left channel. You can join the conversation. Guests this week, we have a really quite a roster. Wednesday, Jerry McNerney, whose polling shows that he is ahead of Richard Pombo. And he joins us at 4 o'clock. Tomorrow, Simon Winchester, the distinguished author and journalist who has written about the San Francisco earthquake. He'll be with us live in studio. On Thursday, Tess Gerritsen, blockbuster author, here because of the Sacramento Bee Book Club. She's a physician in her other life. Although I don't think she's practicing. What she's practicing is writing these terrific blockbusters. And the new book is called The Mephisto Club, and it's all about a sort of a study into the darkness of evil. And she joins us on Thursday, also in studio. So that's what we have so far, and we don't know what other things will happen because people sort of drop by and things occur. 349-1320 is the number, toll-free. 866-626-1320. You can email me, Enid, at kctc.com, and we stream live, 1320leftchannel.com. We're talking about a lot of different things. We're talking about Schwartz's high-tech campaign, the likes of which you see only in presidential races. We're talking about new polling that alleges, and a lot of you don't want to hear it, and I hope it's not right, but I think you better proceed on the basis that it could be. The Doolittle is ahead of Charlie Brown by anywhere from 8 to 10 points. Now, he wasn't releasing any polling earlier, and the polling coming out of Charlie's organization had a statistical dead heat. So, as we go into the stretch, I think you got to roll up your sleeves and really volunteer, whether it's money, or whether it's your time, or whether it's both. I was at an event last night, and it was in Davis. It was, they expected about 50 people. They had about three times what they expected, and they had to change the venue into a larger facility, a different hotel. And Ambassador Joe Wilson was there, and there was a, you know, there he spoke, you know, he was very good. I got there, I think, after Charlie spoke. And I feel, and I did do a donation. And I think Charlie's got a great chance. But if these numbers are correct, wow, everybody get better hop to it. And we better pray that the DOJ comes down with an indictment of Deep Doo 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 Little as soon as it possibly can. Hopefully before the election, but I'm sure that's too much to pray for. We, if you will recall, last week we scooped the Los Angeles Times and the Sacramento Bee with the story that Deep Doo 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 Little testified on behalf of a sexual predator who's a fellow Mormon, and it may very well be that he did it more than once. Now, I don't know if that's enough to significantly damage Doolittle's, you know, run up to the election. But that could, I don't think that helps him, but if you're a strong dual supporter, you probably already know and you don't care. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. So Channel 10, our TV partner, is reporting that Doolittle leads Charlie by 10 points, with a margin of error about 4 points. And another poll has the spread at 8 points, that Doolittle leads by 8 points with a margin of, what, 3 or 4 points. Let's head over to Elk Grove. John, you're live with Enid on AM 1320. Hi, John.
Hi there. You know, I think Charlie Brown needs to be with a little strategy changes. No, you know, knowing it, that all his campaign really is on a lot of character and also Abram have tied in and things like that. But you know what? I think people living in, you know, up there and by the hill, obviously at Marin there, that, you know, they prefer Republican because of a tax cut and other things that they believe benefit the rich. What Charlie Brown needs to appeal to those people is this, that actually, Democrat is better for economy and better for rich people, too, because based on the Clinton year, the rich people got richer because of the lower deficit, and then the market is better. So, you know, Charlie Brown is just not just attacking Doolittle all the time. He needs to focus on what he's going to do for these people in Placerville, too.
You know, that's really a good point. It's really a good point. He's got, because the people, we had several people calling in who were Doolittle supporters, and they all focused on the same thing. Now, they were probably dispatched by the campaign, but they all said they were worried about their taxes, and that was the only thing that mattered. It didn't matter that Doolittle was considered one of the most corrupt Congress people in America. All they cared about were their taxes, their pocketbook.
Right, exactly. So, you know, Charlie Brown needs to focus on what he's going to do with the people up there. Once he become elected, what he can accomplish better than what, you know, Doolittle does.
I think you're really right. I think you're onto something. You ought to, I hope the campaign is listening, and if they're not, call them and let them know, John, and I thank you for the call. 349-1320, Betty in Antelope. Hi, you're live with Enid on AM 1320. Hi, Betty.
Hi, Enid. I'm calling because I have offered my office for Mr. Charlie Brown to use. We have at least three phones every day, free calls. I want lists. I want pictures for my house and the office and all kind of stuff. I called his office, and the man, a young man, returned my call and said, "Oh, great, good. I have yet to hear from him. We can do this. We can get at least five people over the weekend to call for him." I said I would donate some money. And I have yet to hear from him. And I called his headquarters in Roseville.
Call him again.
I'm really upset about that.
Call him again, Betty. I imagine it fell through the cracks some way, but call and keep calling.
Okay.
You know, do it, because who knows. Well, I called McNerney. Let me just give you an example. I called McNerney's office weeks ago. To tell them that I wanted to have an interview. I never heard back from anybody. McNerney can use all the press he can get.
Yes.
I didn't hear anything. They finally got back to me today, and they never even got back to me because of my call. They were pestered by a lot of the constituents who happened to listen to my show and say, well, you know, get McNerney on Enid's show. But they didn't even respond to my call. So don't take it personally. I think it's a lot of volunteers, and I think things don't get processed the way they should.
I just want to do the best I can. I want these people out of office. I want the Democrats to get back in. We need our party up.
I couldn't agree with you more. So keep knocking on their door. Tell them you're waving money and phones and offices in their face, and they better say yes.
Yes, I'm going there. I'm going to go in person.
Go in person, Betty.
I'm going to.
Okay, thank you very much.
All right.
349-1320-866-626-1320. We're also talking about Jerry Brown, an old-style politician, in the sense that he's not a creature of polls. He's somebody who has actual core beliefs, which is more than you can say for Schwartzy. Now, I love the way Phil's campaign was spending Schwartzy's last minute, putting his own money. He's giving about $3.5 million to his reelection campaign. Now, this is what's interesting to me. If he's ahead of Phil by so many points, how come he's stuffing $3.5 million from his own pocket into the campaign? So here's what Steve Maviglio says. And Steve is Phil's spokesman. He says, if the governor wasn't worried about winning, he wouldn't be dumping his own money into the campaign. What do you think? See, is this just insurance, or what do you think? 349-1320. And, of course, if you've been listening to the news, if you haven't been among the nearly comatose, although some of you have probably been incarcerated in your offices all day long, here's the news. The news is that Jeffrey Skilling, who was a big high-level executive at Enron, and he's 52 years old, has been sentenced to 24 years in prison, which means that by the time he gets out, what's he going to be? About 76, I guess. 76 years old. And I don't know, maybe they'll let you out a little early for good behavior. And my line is from the frying pan into the Skilling. Not so funny. He powered Enron. And I think he's got a brother, Tom, who is a meteorologist in Chicago on one of the TV stations, maybe WGN or something like that. Have I got that right, those of you who are Chicagoans? Okay, so here's Jeffrey Skilling. who powered Enron into the ranks of the nation's elite businesses only to resign months before the energy trader hurtled into bankruptcy, was sentenced to 24 years and 4 months in prison today by a federal judge who pointed to the scandal's impact. His crimes have imposed on hundreds, if not thousands, of people a life sentence when they anticipated a secure future. Well, you know what? That is very well said. Skilling kept his composure as a stream of former employees. You know, there are people whose retirement packages, whose retirement portfolios were all tied up with Enron stock. And now these are people who are, you finding them at the malls working for minimum wage because they don't have any retirement or they don't have the retirement they thought they were going to have. Skilling kept his composure as a stream of former employees stood in the crowded ninth floor courtroom to berate him for his role in the Arrow's most notorious accounting fraud, a scheme that cost them more than $1 billion in retirement savings when Enron collapsed in 2001. Skilling, who has vowed to contest his conviction on 19 conspiracy fraud and false filings charges, spoke at the hearing acknowledging the pain that Enron's collapse had caused, but maintaining his innocence. "It has," he said, "been incredibly hard on my family, the employees of Enron, and on my friends. All that can be said, Your Honor, I am innocent of these crimes." His wife, who was a former Enron corporate secretary, bent her head and cried as the sentence was read aloud. Defense lawyers had sought to keep Skilling out of prison pending a lengthy appeal, but the judge denied them that request, saying that Skilling could remain free while the U.S. Bureau of Prisons decides where to send him, a process that could take several weeks. Skilling has to wear an ankle monitoring bracelet while he is out of custody. Under federal prison policy, Skilling's got to serve at least 85% of his sentence. So do the math. What is 85% of 24? Well, 75% is 3/4 of 24. He's got to serve at least 85% of his sentence. According to the terms of a forfeiture deal, Skilling will liquidate his assets and turn over about $45 million to employees and investors. The sentencing brings to close a nearly five-year saga that rocked investor confidence in the integrity of the market. You know, it's so interesting to me. OJ might be writing a book, by the way, about a hypothetical murder of Nicole. He has got a contract of $3.5 million. Remember, the Goldman family sued him civilly, and I think he's got to pay up like about $33 million. He allegedly has a contract worth $3.5 million to write a book of hypothetically how he could have murdered Nicole. You know, he's walking around, but if you do anything like this financially, 24 years in the federal pokey. Oh, my goodness. Laura in Sacramento. Hi, you're live with Enid on AM 1320. Hi, Laura.
Hi, Enid.
Hi, welcome.
Hey, during the height of the electricity crisis, I had the privilege of an internship at the Public Utilities Commission in the Administrative Law Judge Division, and I was made aware that, I just wanted to put this into perspective for California listeners. The money that went to Enron and the other electricity companies when they gamed the system through the deregulation,
right,
that was the largest transfer of wealth out of California since the gold rush.
Really? Wow. Well, 85% of 24 years is 20.4 years.
I hope he enjoys every day.
Well, maybe he'll get a girlfriend in there, in the pokey.
Yeah.
Laura. Well, thank you so much for that. 349-1320-866-620-61320. I want to add to that conversation the fact that with the deregulation, what is being anticipated are dark days ahead. A decade after competition was introduced in their industries, long-distance phone rates has fallen by half, airfares by more than a fourth, and trucking rates by a fourth. But a decade after the federal government opened the business of generating electricity to competition, the market has produced no such decline. There are rate protections. The last of these rate protections expire next year, and the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission, FERC, which has FERC'd us pretty good, and other federal agencies warn in a draft report to Congress that customers may experience rate shock. If you haven't already experienced rate shock, guess what? You're going to experience rate shock. And utilities seek to make up for revenue they did not collect during the period of artificially reduced prices and to cover higher costs of fuel. So there's been this period of artificially reduced prices, as horrible as it's been. And you remember what some of your energy bills were during summer, during July, when the temperature was 116 degrees, unremittingly hot. These numbers have been protected, and you are going to have rate shock. 349-1320, and so am I. Vern in Sacramento. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Vern.
Hey, hi. Oh, I'm turning the radio down. Hey, just a quick thing.
Yeah.
I was thinking you were talking about this slick campaign that Schwarzenegger has going.
Yeah, the slickest.
The possibility that struck me that might be a play. I'm a little hazy on the facts, but if a congressman has to resign his office prior to an election being thrown, doesn't the governor appoint the new congressman?
No, apparently not, because let's look at San Diego. Let's look at Duke Cunningham, who was hauled right off to the pokey. They had a special election, which are expensive. Remember? Mm-hmm. Francine Busby and Brian Bilbray. That's right. So, no, the governor, no, they had a special election in that congressional district.
Do they have to have a special election, or is that
why would the governor appoint somebody? It's a federal issue, and the government's a state guy.
I don't know if that's.
It's a special. As far as I know,
What I was thinking is, if the feds may know, the administration may know that Doolittle's toast one way or the other, and I was just thinking if they did know that they might be trying to position themselves where they can keep a Republican congressman in there. That was just my thought.
No, there are rules about it. I think they'd have to have a special election, and I thank you for the call. Correct me if I'm wrong. Len in Lodi. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Len.
Hi, how are you today?
Good, thanks.
I was calling about Charlie Brown and Doolittle, and it seems to me, and I've agreed with you in the past, that the Democrats just don't go at it. They keep bringing knives to gunfights.
They keep bringing what to gunfights?
Knives.
Oh, knives, yes.
Yeah. And they need to get, look at the crowd they're dealing with and kind of gear their message to the crowd a little more than they have been. They're kind of trying to gear their messages.
Well, what does that have to do
with... One message to all people instead of...
What does that have to do with Charlie's race, Charlie Brown?
Well, he's dealing... You have a lot of executives and in his area that company executives. And if you take the example of Enron, one of which you were just talking about, and Tyco and ESL,
right,
and point out that there's been a lot of morally corrupt and ethically corrupt practices at very high levels in very major corporations. Well, why couldn't those same practices extend to the high levels in the government? And we won't argue about whether that may be true or not.
But you're saying that Charlie should really focus in on some of the economic issues. That's really what you're saying.
Well, I think he should focus in on the fact that just because someone's managed to lower their taxes for a few years doesn't mean that somewhere in the background there isn't a gotcha.
That's exactly right, and thanks for pointing it out. 349-1320-866-626-1320. I'm Enid Goldstein, and you're listening to the Monday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. Time now to check traffic and weather together from the left with Lisa West.
Thank you very much, Enid. Well, John from Elk Grove, he called Enid, and then he called me about the traffic. Thank you very much. You know, their I-5 Laguna Boulevard, when you drop down, that traffic light that we talk about, every couple of months, months. I think maybe they might want to do something about it, but it is stopping traffic down and causing major problems over there. So either get off on the Knicks, just go to Elk Grove Boulevard if you have to. I think it would be easier if you come back around Laguna Springs Boulevard. Probably would be a better way to go. La Riviera Drive, just east of Watt Avenue, we have a three-car crash slowing things down a little bit. And eastbound 50, just east of northbound Watt Avenue as well. Enid Live will continue. Now, trade in your points to win a pair of tickets to see an advanced movie screening of The Queen at the Tower Theater in Sacramento on Monday, October 30th at 7:30 p.m. Now, this is an intimate, revealing, and often humorous portrait of the British royal family in crisis immediately following the death of Princess Diana. So you might want to check it out, and you can log on to AM 1320 LeftChannel.com.
This is Al Franken, and you're listening to Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. It's Full Frontal Radio.
Play perfectly. I just joined Cash Creek's Cash Club, and I received $100 in free bonus play.
Play profitably.
I just joined Cash Club and automatically got an instant shot at $1 million.
Play endlessly. Cash Creek has thousands of the newest, hottest slots, and bonus play just keeps the action going.
Play, bonusfully at Cash Creek, Northern California's only AAA Four Diamond Casino Resort. Just join the Cash Club, and you can start out with up to $500 in free bonus play. It's like playing with their money. Well, not like it. You really are playing with their money. Plus, don't forget the instant shot at $1 million. And you can't play on an empty stomach, so they're giving away over 150 $25 dining comps every day. So you can play and dine on their dollar. Cash Creek Casino Resort. Well played. Visit by taking I-80 to 505 North and 16 West. For tickets, visit cashcreek.com or any Ticketmaster outlet.
In movie theaters. Please, you're not a cardiologist on call. You're a putz whose babysitter wants to know where the ketchup is. And then you tell her in the middle of the movie. Sometimes it's so loud in the theater I can barely hear what the black people are yelling at the screen. There is a simple solution. Put your cell phone on vibrate and then up your... New rule, no more celebrating gastric bypass. Carney Wilson, Al Roker, and now Star Jones are all being heralded by the media for stapling their stomachs shut. They shouldn't be. They're not making a brave choice to change. They're giving money to doctors to reroute their ability to turn food into crap.
Laughing at the truth, AM 1320.
The color pink represents the promise to find a cure for breast cancer. That promise started the Susan G. Komen Breast Cancer Foundation and ignited the passion of millions to create a world without breast cancer. October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month. We are reaching out to you to make a difference this month by making a personal donation to the Komen Foundation and by showing your passion for the cure by wearing pink one or more days in October. Anything you can do to heighten the awareness of this cause can make a difference. To share your promise and to donate funds to our passion, log on to 1320 Left Channel.
It's not something that you just dump something on. It's not a big truck. It's a series of tubes.
It really is the Internet consumer bill of rights. Because you got tangled up with all of these things that are going on the Internet commercially. The world has turned against this. If your own personal Internet, that is you and me. You and me is that truth. The Internet is not something that you just dump something on. It's not a big truck.
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320.
It's a series of truths.
Live and local, it's Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Sunday morning ever, and Sunday pass on by. I'll be working here forever, at least until I die. Damn if you do, damn if you don't. I'm supposed to get a raise next week, you know that when I won't. Working for a living.
28 on the Monday edition of Enid Live. This is the day when people have the most coronaries, is on Monday. But, you know, but and if you, if you're a Republican listening to Enid Live, it could happen. Here's what we're talking. We're talking about a lot of different things. We're talking about Jeffrey being sentenced to 24 years in the pokey. We're talking about these new polls that a lot of us don't want to believe are true. I hope they're not, but they could be, that point out, that reveal that Doolittle is 10 points ahead in one poll, CBS News 10, or ABC, I'm sorry, the News 10, not CBS, ABC News 10. And another poll that has Doolittle ahead by 8 points. So some of you don't want to believe it. I don't, certainly don't want to believe it. I think he has a very good shot at this election. I hope the polls are incorrect. But if there's any truth to those polls at all, you better get out there and roll up your sleeves and do whatever it takes to put Charlie over the top. Maybe he needs more money. Maybe he needs more volunteers. You can volunteer money. You can volunteer time. Just do it. I wrote a check yesterday. There was an event in Davis, and this was starring Ambassador Joseph Wilson, Valerie Plame's husband, and Charlie, and it was, they had two or three times the number of people they expected, so they had to change venues, move to a larger place. And we're talking, we're getting all this anecdotal evidence about all these lawn signs that are all over the place in favor of Charlie. But if the polling is accurate, those lawn signs are not enough. 349-1320-866-626-1320. We're also talking about the surprise we're all going to have in terms of energy issues, and this in the wake of Jeffrey Skilling, who has been sentenced to 24 years in prison, and of course he was involved in the Enron scandal. But here's what's happening. There are rate protections right now for all of us, which expire next year. And FERC, the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission, and other federal agencies are warning in a draft report to Congress that's not gotten a lot of attention, that customers may experience rate shock like we haven't already, as utilities seek to make up for revenues that they did not collect during the period of artificially reduced prices and to cover higher costs of fuel. They warn that this rate shock can create public pressure to turn back from electricity prices set by the market to prices set by government regulators. You know what? It wasn't broke. There was no need to fix it. And those of you who are in Yolo County and in West Sac, you have a chance to keep SMUD. You want SMUD. You don't want PG&E. Because if you think you're going to be shocked by your energy prices, the cost of energy now, it's going to get much, much worse. 349-1320-866-626-1320. An agency that regulates utilities found no discernible benefit to customers in the 16 states that had gone the farthest in terms of deregulation. And they warned that electricity prices in those states may actually be increasing faster than the customers in the states that did not restructure. So in other words, the states that went for deregulation, there has been no discernible benefit. The whole line that you were sold, the whole line of BS that you were sold, is that your rates would go down. There has been no benefit to you. They have only gone up, and they're going to go up probably quite a lot higher. Stan in Auburn, hi, you're live with Enid on AM 1320. Hi, Stan.
Hi, Enid. How are you?
Good, thank you.
I'm 70 years old. I'm retired. I worked all my life. I invested all my money in 401k at work and stuff like that. I get very little from Social Security, but I'm looking at some data from the Office of Management and Budget. The federal deficit 2 years ago was $570 billion, with a B. The federal deficit in 2006 is now $260 billion. It has decreased about, what, 250,000, 270,000.
Wait, give me this again. Start over again with the statistic.
The data is from the Office of Management and Budget from the federal government.
Okay.
The current deficit now is $260 billion in 2006, down from $570 billion in 2004.
Up from?
They're getting most of this money from tax revenues. Tax revenues in the last 2 years have increased almost $520 billion. And they're stating in there that the top 10% of taxpayers pay 60% of the taxes. The top 50% pay 97% of the federal taxes.
So tell me what your point is, Stan.
I can't afford Charlie Brown. I can't afford Nancy Pelosi.
Wait. I don't understand where you're getting these numbers from. We are in historic deficits.
I understand that. I'm not questioning that.
Okay.
That they have been cut in half in the last 2 years.
I don't know that that's correct. That's not my understanding.
And have your people go take a look.
Well, but wait a minute, Stan. This is an administration that brought you historic deficits. The Clinton administration brought you historic surpluses.
History.
Wait. History. Don't history me. You've got an administration that has brought you the worst deficits in American history. And why would you want? Why do they inspire any confidence in you?
They're coming down dramatically.
Wait a minute, they're coming down dramatically. It's like we're giving you the highest death rate, but you know what? They're coming down dramatically. We're in the worst war, a war that's a complete disaster, but you know, it's getting better. I mean, how could you, the Democrats brought you a surplus. The Democrats brought you historic surpluses. Bill Clinton cleaned up that whole act, and how come you don't want to give him any credit? Why wouldn't you want to throw your lot in with people who brought you historic surpluses?
Enid, all you do is talk, but you don't listen. The projected surplus we were going to get was all projected, was all on paper. Enid, it was never real. There was never money.
It was never real, and these deficits aren't real either?
These deficits are coming down dramatically.
They're coming down dramatically. We're in historic deficits, and we're giving tax cuts to the richest Americans. How are we going to do that?
And they're paying the most of the taxes. Enid, you don't listen to what I said.
I heard what you said, but I think you need to read Paul Krugman, because he thinks we're in terrible trouble.
China is a communist.
Wait, Paul Krugman is an economist shortlisted for the Nobel Prize who teaches at Princeton, and you, Stan, in Auburn, are calling Paul Krugman a communist? Give me a break. I mean, who are you to call him a communist? He's an economist. You, Stan, in Auburn, are not an economist.
Well,
with all due respect.
I read the data that's put out in front of me, Enid.
And so tell me why you're going to vote for Doolittle.
I'm not going to vote for either one of them. I'm not going to vote for Charlie Brown.
How could you even think about voting for Doolittle when he's one of the most corrupt?
Vote for Doolittle. I'm not going to vote for Charlie Brown.
Okay. Why wouldn't you vote for Charlie Brown?
What's that?
Why wouldn't you vote for Charlie Brown?
Because Nancy Pelosi has already stated that one of the first things she's going to do would be to change the investment credit tax and raise it. And most of this money that's coming into the federal government now to reduce the deficit is coming from corporations and people who invest.
Are you happy with this current administration, Stan?
I can't afford not to be.
Wait a minute. The war in Iraq that's costing a fortune every month. People are dying. All of that money getting poured down that rat hole. Are you going to tell me that you're in favor of this administration? That they've done such a great job?
But I'm not in favor. No, I'm not. I'm going to tell you I'm not in favor of Charlie Brown, Nancy Pelosi. Already stated they're going to raise taxes.
Well, how do you think the deficit is going to get paid if not raising taxes? Your grandchildren's future is already mortgaged, Stan.
I've just told you.
No, you haven't told me. You know what? You should write Ben Bernanke and all the powers that be in the administration and tell them that you stand from Auburn and have a plan, and you know how this is all going to just turn out very perkily in the end.
The plan is already in place. The plan is working now.
What are you smoking, Stan?
Oh, come on, Edith. You see, that's the problem. You people on the left don't want to ever look at facts. You never want to look up.
We're looking at the facts. We're looking at a high deficit, and we are looking at historic deficits. We're looking at a war that has been nothing but a disaster and a very costly one in terms of lives and in terms of money. And you're telling me this is that you don't trust the Democrats? Stan, I don't get this.
Enid, do your listeners a favor. Go online tomorrow and tell them what the current deficit is and what it was 2 years ago.
All right. We'll do that, Stan. I thank you for the call.
I'm going to be listening.
Okay, darling. I'm telling you, I think you're smoking something, but I thank you for the call. 349-1320, 866-620-61320. Do you want to respond to what Stan had to say? He says that the deficits are coming down, and he doesn't trust his economic future to Democrats. He thinks that his economic future is better served by the Republicans, who have brought all of us historic deficits, have brought us a tragic war that is hugely arrogant and one of the hugest mistakes ever made in the history of this country. And Stan thinks that the just mention Nancy Pelosi, and that's it. He can't, Stan cannot, he's not going to vote for Charlie Brown and any Democrat. So you tell me what you think. How would you respond? What would you say? I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to the Monday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel. Time now to check traffic and weather together from the left with Lisa West.
Thank you very much. We have lows tonight, 55. Highs coming up tomorrow, about 81. And if you trade in your points to win a pair of tickets to see an advanced movie screening of The Queen at the Tower Theater in Sacramento on Monday, that's coming up October 30th at 7:30 p.m. This is an intimate, revealing, and often humorous portrait of the British royal family in crisis immediately following the death of Princess Diana. You need to check it out. And go to our website, of course, 1320leftchannel.com. Enid Live will continue at AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Hi, this is Randy Rhodes, and you're listening to Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. The only channel left.
Hey, listen up. What about your future? Are you unhappy with your current job? You want to make great money and get the promotion you deserve? Now's the time. Explore your options. Log on to sacjobs.com and post your resume today. That's sacjobs.com. Post your resume and have local employers find you now. New companies being added each day and hundreds of jobs being added each week. So if you're in the market for a job, sacjobs.com is a click away. At sacjobs.com, you're on your way to a better day.
New rule. Prince Harry is going to hurt someone. Look at this kid. He's a thundering ball of rage. His mom's dead. His father dates rotted tree bark. His brother gets to be king, and he's destined to spend the rest of his life being photographed doing nothing. Arrest him before he kills a woman. New rule. Country music stars can't be authors. Charlie Daniels' new book, Ain't No Rag, Freedom, Family, and the Flag, is a collection of musings by noted white trash icon Charlie Daniels on subjects ranging from American flags to American flag bumper stickers to what to do to a hippie if you catch him trying to burn your flag. Before this book, I was ambivalent on the issue of flag burning. Now I find myself reconsidering the question of book burning.
Laughing at the truth, AM 1320.
New rule, one dear to my heart. Lap dancing is a First Amendment right. The L.A. City Council this week banned lap dancing. What is next, burning books? Lap dancers, or Imagineers, as I like to call them, artists drawing you into their fantasy world, much like a skilled novelist does. If novelists had perfectly waxed bikini lines. But more importantly, lap dancers are expressing an idea called hope. The hope that someday a skinny young woman with artificial breasts and a navel piercing will want to have sex with you. And without that hope, millions of American men might just as well throw themselves into the sea.
Laughing at the truth, AM 1320. Talk to Enid now, 349-1320.
On the weekend comes, I go get live with the honey. Rolling down the street, I saw this girl when she was pumping.
7:23 on the Monday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 7, 3 to 7 weekdays on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel. If you're just tuning in, the lines are full. They'll open up, and when they do, I'll give you the numbers. One of our Republican listeners, Stan, called, and he says he couldn't possibly vote for a Democrat because they wouldn't be as fiscally responsible as Republicans have been, never mind that we're in historic deficits. And he invoked the shibboleth of all shibboleths for Republicans, Nancy Pelosi, you know, the grim financial reaper herself, according to Republicans. So much of a grim reaper that John Doolittle, who had no arguments for Charlie Brown, no real rebuttals, that's all he could say was Nancy Pelosi and ACLU and Cindy Sheehan and so on. So, I mean, I don't know how to respond to somebody like Stan and make the case. I'm not an economist. I do read and respect Paul Krugman. I know we're in historic deficits. I know that the Democrats left us in beautiful shape with historic surpluses, and now Dickey has gotten us into the soup both fiscally and morally. What would you say that would make a difference, if anything could? Linda in Granite Bay. Hi, you're live with Enid on AM 1320. Hi, Linda.
Hi, Enid. First of all, I have to say Paul Krugman's my idol. I love him, too. But I'm not an economist either. But I was thinking with regard to the budget, I believe, someone can correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't think the costs of the Iraq war are figured into that budget. They fund those military, the military spending separately on supplementals or something like that, right? So
you're probably right about that. So it doesn't figure in, but this, you know, when he says the numbers have come down dramatically in 2 years, that's not my understanding. They're getting worse and worse, I think.
Well, if you artificially inflate your earlier number, in other words, if you set your target really, your number really high, then when it comes down, it looks really good, even though it's still really high. If you see what I mean.
Yes, I do see what you mean.
And I think that's something I read somewhere. And then there's always the old quote, there's lies, damn lies, and statistics. You know, you can make things sound any way you want. So
that's right.
I think we should do
that. I think I'm going to use that accounting to amp up my IQ. That's it. Linda, I thank you very much for the information. 349-1321 line is open. Paulette. In El Dorado Hills. Hi, you're live with Enid on AM 1320. Hi, Paulette.
Hi, Enid. It's good to talk with you.
Thank you.
Linda just said what I was going to, that when the deficit was projected last year, it was artificially inflated. And so when it came around this year, they could show that it was actually going down. When you're right, we have historic deficits, and there are so many things that are not included in the budget, including the war.
Oh, so there it is. So I hope Stan is listening. I don't know if that would have any impact on Stan's thinking.
Probably not. You know, he's got his mind made up, so don't try to confuse him with the facts.
Exactly. Paulette, thank you very much for the information. 349-1320, 866-620-6120. It opens up a line. Mike in Sacramento. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Mike.
How are you?
Good. Thank you.
I wanted to respond.
You know what, Mike? I'm actually dismayed. That's how I really am. I'm dismayed. I'm dismayed at this new polling that indicates a deep doo-doo, a corrupt man, and a money pimp, a money whore, leads Charlie Brown by anywhere from 8 to 10 points. And I'm dismayed that people think that this administration has been even remotely fiscally responsible.
Well, there's a lot of stands out there that you're a Republican, you know.
Yes, there is Afghanistan, and there is Uzbekistan, and there's a lot of stands. And then there's one that was circulating after the election, but I can't say it. A stand. You heard that one.
I wanted to respond a little bit to his economic numbers. And, you know, it's some of your earlier callers just pointed on the expectations game. You say it's going to be $400 billion, and then when it's only $300 billion, well, now it's down $100 billion. They just elevate their earlier numbers, and it doesn't include that they're spending in Iraq on supplementals, and they're robbing the Social Security overpayments at the expense to our future generations. And so none of that, you know, it's so easy to skew the statistics. So what people should keep in mind is that the deficit adds to the debt. Every year we spend more than we bring in, and our debt goes up, and we're at $8 or $9 trillion now. Back when Reagan was president, we spent about 20 cents on every dollar to interest payments.
To service the debt. And now what do we pay?
Service the debt. Now, during the Clinton years, we were able to get it down to about 10 cents on the dollar.
And what is it now?
Now it's up almost 25 cents on the dollar. It's 23 cents on the dollar. Every dollar that Stan pays in federal tax income, 23 cents of it goes to China and Saudi Arabia and everyone else that's been bankrolling our foreign policy.
And also, we are buying more than we are selling from overseas.
It's crazy. Now, he's a Republican, and he doesn't obviously understand that. I'm a Democrat, and I do understand that. So I guess necessarily being a Republican doesn't make you more hip to what's going on in the economy.
No, I think that if you're a Republican, we can shave a few IQ points off by definition, but that's so snarky. I think I'll pretend I didn't say that. What?
I'd like to ask some of these Republicans that seem to support the tax policy and the war. I mean, if this war in Iraq, given these no-bid contracts, if these are all adding so much value to your life, you know, President Bush's policies, why are you so unwilling to pay for them?
I thank you. These are good questions, Mike. I thank you for asking them. 349-1320, Richard in Sacramento. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Richard.
Oh, hi, Enid. I just want to respond to that, Stan. I live in Roseville 5 years, and he's a classic diehard, let them do anything they want, and as long as they're against the Democrats, we're for them kind of guy. And I just want to reiterate about the debt. When Clinton left office, we had like $4.8 trillion of debt. Now, because of the record deficits, we're now, I think they said, $9.8 trillion, which is, you know, going up every day because of Iraq and everything.
Well, he says it's coming down.
But, you know, that, like the other callers were saying, those are inflated numbers in time for the election, but to make it look like, you know, they flipped the books a little bit. But this guy's class, I mean, I don't think Doolittle's going to win. I mean, I think he's going to win, I mean, because these people, they don't really care what the issues are or what the corruption is. They're just against Democrats, and a lot of these people come from different parts of California, wherever it becomes racially diverse, and they come to Placer County because, you know, this is what they have in common.
You know, I want to say something. I think you're touching on something interesting. When Dickey came to office, he said, I'm a uniter, not a divider. and of course that was a complete lie. It was absolutely the opposite. And the reason it was the opposite is that they could make more political hay by dividing the country, trying to win with wedge issues. And when I think of listening to Rush, I hear the same thing, you know, these are conservatives. They're not conservatives. He is always pitting, the libs this. So anybody that you hated, there's never a shortage of reasons to hang your hate onto a hook, you know? And
right.
The libs are the hook that your hate, your rage, your everything goes onto. So another divisive, these are two people who have made their capital, whether it's money and income and compensation for Rush, or whether it's political capital for Bush by working us against each other at a time when the only thing that we can do to really save ourselves is to come together. But
exactly.
But there's always going to be, I'm going to tell you, there's always going to be issues that come up, and if the society were more trying to get us together, I think we would have a better, more functioning society, certainly a less corrupt society.
Absolutely, and then look at the military guys who are, you know, coming out, and they're becoming Democrats because they know it's all smoke and mirrors.
That's exactly right. Richard, we're going to have to leave it there. I thank you for the call. 349-1320, I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to the Monday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. Time now to check traffic and weather together from the left with Lisa West.
Thank you very much, Enid. We have a little slow traffic going on in southbound 99. It looks like we have a two-car crash coming on I-5 and Laguna Boulevard, exactly where Elk Grove John mentioned. That signal light there is stopping things down quite a bit and now causing traffic accidents, so stay clear of that. We have lows tonight right around 55, highs coming up tomorrow 81, and we are at 79 at AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Ladies and gentlemen, I know what you've all been waiting for, the world-famous
Enid Goldstein.
All right, let's see what you can do. Take it away.
On AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Come into me.
This is an AM 1320 left channel action calendar. The film Sir, No Sir is the untold story of the GI movement to end the war in Vietnam. This award-winning film by David Zeiger will be shown on Wednesday, October 25th at 7 p.m. at the Coloma Community Center Auditorium, 4623 T Street in Sacramento. The movie explores the anti-war efforts not on the nation's college campuses, but in barracks and on aircraft carriers. It flourished in Army stockades and Navy brigs. It penetrated military colleges like West Point and spread throughout the battlefields of Vietnam. Yet today, few people know about the GI movement against the war. That's Wednesday, October 25th at 7 p.m. at the Coloma Community Center. Sir, No Sir. An admission of $5 to $10 is requested, with all proceeds supporting ongoing efforts to create local progressive media productions, including the Media Edge series on Local Access TV. More information is on the events page at 1320leftchannel.com.
Hey, Heidi, check out the sunny day with tonight's AccuTerra forecast.
And folks, wasn't it just a perfect day for a terror alert? Bone chilling in the morning, clear and present danger in the afternoon, tapering off into cold sweats at night. Tomorrow, AccuTerra is predicting 100% chance of a really big terror alert to take our mind off bad economic news. Now, Kaida Cell coming down from Canada into here, the Great Lakes regions, the folks in the Detroit and Saginaw, you might want to put on that extra layer of Kevlar. Our exclusive AccuTerra radar is picking up a lot of chatter out here in the Denver area. So stay away from chemical plants, nuclear facilities, and, of course, the French fries at Arby's. Here in the West, some light showers of ammonium nitrate, a little sarin gas are possible in the Los Angeles area, but don't expect loss of life. The Santa Anas are going to push all that nasty gunk out. Here's your 5-day. Yellow, bluish yellow, yellow again, yellow gradually becoming orange, and orange back into yellow. And we've got an orangish red weekend on tap, so be sure to have plenty of bottled water and canned goods on hand. And that's terror. All right, make it a great day.
Laughing at the truth, AM 1320.
Miss a little, miss a lot. Stay with Enid on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel.
Five on the Monday edition of Enid Live. I am yours until 7, and we're a lot of people responding to what Stan had to say about how fiscally irresponsible he thinks the Democrats are, and how what great financial probity the Republicans exhibit, even though we are in historic deficits. Mel, hi, you're live with Enid on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel.
Hi, Enid.
Hi.
Yes. Yeah, the first issue I'd like to comment on is those statistics come from the party that gave us.
Are you a legislator, Mel? Are you a legislator?
No. I'm running against the Republican incumbent in Assembly District 2.
Oh, okay.
And Assembly District 2 goes from basically north of Sacramento to the Oregon border.
Okay.
In California.
And you are Mel?
Mel Smith.
Smith. Okay. We don't have very much time, Mel, so tell us quickly.
Who invented the concept of cooking the books? This came from Enron and several other of these extreme greedy corporations that supported George Bush. And who is in charge of those statistics that caller just called in and quoted to you? George Bush. The same people that invented the concept of cooking the books. We must figure out which side the statistics are coming from. If they're coming from the people, the greedy, giant, big money corporations that have taken control of our government, we must at least stop and take a look at
1320 KCTC, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Left Channel.
And streaming live at 1320leftchannel.com.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. A liar, a thief, and a drunk. That's how one former Enron employee described Jeffrey Skilling at his sentencing today. The former CEO told the judge he does feel remorse over the company's collapse, but continued to insist he's innocent of any criminal wrongdoing. Then, as KTRH Radio's Tom Matthews reports, Skilling was sentenced to more than 24 years in federal prison.
The most emotion came from Skilling's wife, Rebecca, who began sobbing as the verdict was read, as the many months that Skilling will have to spend in prison was read by the judge. She then slumped her head down into her lap as she was sobbing in court, and a few others gasped.
For the time being, Skilling's been ordered to home confinement with an ankle bracelet.
Now the appeal can begin for real, and Skilling does have some decent arguments to make. For example, his attorneys are going to argue that the trial judge gave jurors the wrong instructions before they began to deliberate, and also improperly allowed jurors to see and hear certain evidence that they weren't supposed to.
CBS News legal analyst Andrew Cohen says Skilling might have gotten a lighter sentence if he'd apologized today, but an apology would have sabotaged his appeal. 9/11 families are outraged that more than 5 years after the terrorist attacks, more human remains are being found in underground passages near Ground Zero. New York Mayor Mike Bloomberg has ordered a new search but will not halt construction at the site.
It's tragic that a handful of places were apparently not scrutinized as well as they should have been, but families have to understand people are trying to do their best.
New research shows chronic anxiety leads to physical illness. CBS News correspondent Barry Bagnato reports.
If you have an anxiety disorder, chances are you have a separate physical health problem, too.
Thyroid disease, respiratory disease, gastrointestinal diseases, arthritis, migraine headaches, allergies.
University of Manitoba researcher Jitender Sareen says the combination lowers quality of life and significantly raises the risk of disability. This study in the archives of internal medicine advises general practice doctors to regularly ask sick patients if they've also been suffering from anxiety. It could open a door to treatment. Barry Bagnato, CBS News, Washington.
A Philadelphia dad is charged with aggravated assault and reckless endangerment for pulling a gun on his son's football coach. It happened yesterday during a game involving 6 and 7-year-olds. Police say 40-year-old Wayne Durkach wanted his son to get more playing time. No shots were fired. This is Cherry Bomb, a hit for the all-female 70s rock band The Runaways. Drummer Sandy West has died of lung cancer at 47. She was only 16 when she co-founded the band with singer-guitarist Joan Jett, who calls West an exuberant and powerful drummer. In a statement, Jett says, "I am overcome from the loss of my friend." On Wall Street today, the Dow Industrial is up 114 points to 12,116. The Nasdaq gained 13 points. This is CBS News.
Because financial solutions have no borders or boundaries, because one market affects another market, UBS operates in only two locations, everywhere and right next to you. Powerful global resources leveraged every day to the most important issues. Yours. UBS, leader in wealth management, global asset management, and investment banking, and committed to a relationship we call you and us. Member SIPC.
What tobacco issues are important to you?
The health effects. That's what concerns me.
Last night, Brian went to philipmorrisusa.com.
There's a lot of information there, but for me it all came down to this. There is no safe cigarette.
Cigarette smoking causes lung cancer, heart disease, and emphysema. If you'd like more information on the health effects of smoking, as well as links for smokers who've decided to quit, find out more. Visit philipmorrisusa.com.
Americans are hauling less trash to the curb. CBS News correspondent John Harchie explains.
We're recycling more, throwing away less, according to the latest EPA stats. We tossed out a total of 246 million tons of municipal solid waste last year, but the government says that's 2% less than the year before. It's due in part because we're greener, recycling more. The way the government figures it, we each tossed out 4.5 pounds of stuff and recycled 1.5 pounds each day. Compared to 15 years ago, recycling is up 16%.
It's a first for the Des Moines Fire Department, a false alarm set off by an ape. But officials at the Great Ape Trust of Iowa, a research center, say it was no accident. 25-year-old Panbanisha had witnessed a false alarm and apparently liked all the sirens and flashing lights. The next morning, she pulled the alarm and sat back to enjoy the show. When a researcher asked, "Did you do that?" the ape gave a sly grin that she uses when she plays tricks. I'm Bill.
It's Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Five minutes after 6 o'clock. Welcome to the Monday edition of Enid Live. Yours until 7, Mondays through Fridays, weekdays on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. Your homework assignment remains the same. You have to tell 3 to 5 people every single day that we are here. The billboards are beginning to kick in. Lots of new callers, lots of calls from people who say, gee, I never knew you were there. And I just wanted to call to see if you were, and here we are. Tomorrow, we're going to be joined in studio by Simon Winchester, who has written a number of best-selling books, one of them about the San Francisco earthquake. He's English. He's a distinguished journalist and author. He wrote Krakatoa, you know, the exploding, mountain. And so he joins us tomorrow. Wednesday, Jerry McNerney, who's making very significant headway, polling from his own organization, shows him slightly ahead of Richard Pombo. We don't know, but a statistical dead heat. And he has gotten the endorsement of the Modesto Bee and also the San Francisco Chronicle. So he joins us at 4 o'clock on Wednesday. 4 o'clock on Thursday, Tess Gerritsen, who is a blockbuster best-selling author, also a physician. She's an MD, but she's kind of given up that part of her life to write these thrillers. And the new book is The Mephisto Club. And she is here being highlighted by the Sacramento Bee's book club. So she'll be appearing there after she is with us here in the studio. And we're going to have some books to give away. We're going to try and get her to sign them. And we'll give some of them away to you guys. If you're good, if you're really good. Are we good today? Did you tell 3 to 5 people that we're here? If you are just tuning in, some bad news. There's good news and there's bad news. Well, there's maybe only bad news and bad news. The bad news is there are a couple of polls out. One of them, News 10, our TV partner, that has Doolittle ahead of Charlie Brown by 10 points. Remember now, a few weeks back, it was a statistical dead heat. Now this is 10 points, and there's another poll out that has Doolittle ahead of Charlie by 8 points. So, these are margins of errors of 3 and 4%. So I don't know. Some of you said that's it makes it not valid, but they all seem to have the same margin of errors, these polls. So I think you have to roll up your sleeves. We all have to roll up our sleeves. I gave Charlie a donation. We're very kind to him on this radio station, but I also wrote him a check yesterday. I was at the event where Ambassador Joe Wilson was speaking on behalf of Charlie, and he was great. And 3 times the number of people that they expected to show up, I am told, showed up, so they had to move it to a larger facility. But still, it's not going to be enough. And this was in Davis. Now, Davis is not part of the fourth congressional district. This is Yolo County, and this is people who are activists, and they want to see Charlie take it from Doolittle. So a lot of people from the Bay Area, I have read, are coming down to help Charlie. But I don't think it's enough. You really got to push him over the top. So it's going to take money. It's going to take effort. Go to charliebrownforcongress.org. We're also talking about Jeffrey Skilling, sentenced to 24 years in the pokey, talking about energy rates artificially protected right now. And you're going to have rate shock. There's a draft report that indicates we're going to have huge rate shock when those artificial protections fall away in the next year or so. And when they've done studies of how much people, states that have deregulated have benefit, there's been no benefit. No benefit at all. The benefit has gone to these companies that have bought investment bankers and so on, that have bought the power facilities and so forth and flipped them for way more money than they paid for them. We have one line open, 349-1320. We had a call from Stan. Stan, I hope you're listening. You inspired a lot of comment. Stan's a Republican. And he says that the deficits are coming down in the hands of Republicans, never mind that it was the Republicans that put us in historic deficits, and therefore he could never vote for a Democrat. They're all Nancy Pelosi, and it's going to cost him money out of his wallet. We have one line open. What do you think? 349-1320, 866-626-1320. Joe in Lotus, hi, you're live with Enid on AM 1320. Hi, Joe.
I wanted to say about the caller Stan that he was citing numbers from OMB, that's the Office of Management and Budget. That is part of the administration.
Okay.
They, you know, obviously have vested interest in making it look good where it comes down.
Well, yeah, in an election year.
They subtracted out the Iraq War.
Uh-huh.
That's all special appropriations. It's not part of that deficit.
Right.
And they subtracted out Katrina accounting.
Oh, they said, Katrina too.
Yeah.
So what's left? What's left? Hamburgers and French fries?
I'm not sure, but it is cash accounting they use at the government, and that's actually illegal for corporations.
Are you an accountant?
No.
Oh, okay.
But I just kind of follow.
Corporations can't use the cash accounting; they have to use the accrual.
Yes.
Method.
Yes.
Okay.
And David Walker, the controller of the United States, he issues an independent report, and he issued one last November. And it said that our real deficit is several trillion instead of hundreds of billions.
All right, so let me ask you this question. What do you say to somebody like Stan that would break through, if anything? I'm not sure it's possible.
Yeah, in terms of breaking through to Stan, I don't know if it's possible or not. But, I mean, you just got to stick with it and tell him the truth.
Yeah, but he's not believing it. I'm not Paul Krugman, so, you know, I'm not an economist.
That's right. He did call Paul Krugman a
communist. He said he was a communist. Does anybody call anybody a communist now? It's rather quaint, don't you think?
Yeah.
Okay, I thank
you. You know, I mean, to get through to him, it's hard when somebody doesn't even value, you know, lives. I mean, they ought to count more than dollars. Like you hit.
Oh no, that's communist thinking. Thank you, Joe.
Okay.
I appreciate the call. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. Russ in Folsom. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Russ.
Hi, Enid. How are you?
Good. Thank you.
Listen, I was there last night. I missed you.
Oh.
I'd love to visit with you for a couple minutes. I thought Joe did a superb job. My daughter joined me, and we, too, made a donation.
Good.
And he's a nice, gentle man who's right of center. I mean, how can people...
Who are you talking about?
Well, Charlie Brown. And how can people be so outraged about him? It's just, it's mystifying to me.
Because they have been taught. It's like a Pavlovian, libs are bad, he's a lib, he's not Charlie, he's not Doolittle.
There's nothing liberal about the guy, you know, in the sense of what we know a traditional liberal would be. But that's immaterial. One quick point I want to make about the appointment by the governor to fulfill an unexpired term. He only has that right for a U.S. senator. And that derives from the days before the 16th Amendment when legislatures elected senators.
He can do this for a senator but not a representative?
Not for a representative. You have to have a special election.
Oh, thank you for filling us in. Okay.
Now, just Stan, let me stipulate first. This is a toxic stew of limited intellect, limited education, limited information, and absolute unenlightened self-interest. The operative word was I, not we, they, us. And, you know, it's real hard. It's what we call, as a reasoning fallacy, invincible ignorance. It's real hard to work with a guy. But, Stan, if you're listening, let me make a couple of quick points. Number one, you're right that the OMB is saying that we've halved the deficit. But the deficit is cumulative. The debt has not gone down. It continues to go up. It escalates. And the OMB says that for 10 consecutive years out, it will continue to escalate. Your last caller who said the off-book expenditures haven't been recorded, that's absolutely right. They do use a cash accounting. The controller's report is in conflict with them. But why wouldn't Stan go to the CBO, the Congressional Budget Office, nonpartisan? Why wouldn't he go to the Brookings Institute, the American Enterprise Institute? All he has to do is Google in.
Well, American Enterprise is like a kind of right wing.
That's right. But look at them all. Look at them all. I mean, Norm Ornstein, who's really good, is at the American Enterprise Institute.
Right.
But look at them. I mean, he gets one little shred of evidence and extrapolates from that. This is where we
Well,
are.
An ant is on. It lands on the tusk of an elephant and thinks the whole elephant is made of ivory.
But, well, absolutely. We know the metaphor. But here's the other one. He was just lamenting that, you know, 50% of the people pay 90% of the taxes. Well, Stan, they earn more than 90% of the money. Is that troubling to you? I guess it is. 1% of this nation controls 52% of the wealth and earns 40% of the wealth. Why shouldn't they pay a little more? And this is your values voter. And what is this value? Me against thee.
Me against thee and my pocketbook.
Absolutely. And, you know, in the bottom line, and for years I taught.
And then they're religious. You know, what about helping your fellow human being who is not in the same perky situation as you are in?
Well, they chose to be there.
Right. So, or they were lazy. They didn't pull themselves up by their own bootstraps.
Yeah, and they simply can't do what I did because I'm better.
I want to quote what Napoleon said. Napoleon said, I don't want good generals. I want lucky generals. Luck plays a huge role in life in all ways. You can have good luck. You can have bad luck. But it makes a huge difference. You can have good luck in medicine. You can have good luck in life. And you can have bad luck. And a lot of good people have bad luck.
Well, much of it's serendipity. And, you know, you can get into all kinds of issues. There is a simple thing like citizenship. How did you become a citizen? Merely because you were born here. You know, it's just serendipity. And you're absolutely right. It's good fortune. And a lot of these people have been fortunate, but they like to say
they did it all themselves.
They did it on their own with
exactly.
No help. And if you investigate their past, you're going to find something very different. Some of his old coworkers and see just how hard this guy really did work.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, we're gonna leave it there, Russ, and I thank
okay.
you for the call.
Enid, take care.
You too. 349-1320, Margie and Sack. Hi, you're live with Enid on AM 1320. Hi, Margie. Hi.
Hello?
Hi, Margie. Welcome. Hello?
Are you calling me?
I am, Margie. Welcome.
Oh, sorry, Enid. Okay, I had a couple comments on Krugman. He's my boy, too.
Good.
And one reason I love him is he always quotes his sources, and they're always impartial. And usually the people that argue the other side, as the gentleman just said, that he's absolutely right. The figures are right off of the Bush playbook, and that is just not, that's so suspect. The second thing about Stan is that there's two things that he reminded me about, one of which is that I think it's a major victory that he said he may not vote for Doolittle. That is a big deal. A guy like Stan is an angry white, what I call the angry white man, who's very angry about whatever. I don't know exactly what. And I never can figure it out. But I think, as one friend of mine says, he drank the Kool-Aid. And that just means whatever the Bushies say, they believe. They just believe it, and you can't do a thing about that. They just are, they're just true believers.
Margie, let me ask you a question. These two polls that have come out today, one that has Charlie trailing Doolittle by 10 points, and the other one has him trailing by 8 points. What are your thoughts about that?
I basically don't believe those polls. Well, number one, you know.
Well, we don't want, nobody wants to believe them,
no,
but I don't think
true.
You can ignore them.
No, you can't ignore them, but we're not going to do anything different because we're all working really hard for, although I may switch back from, you know, I take some of this, take Rob from Peter to pay Paul, take some of my time off at Durston and put it on Charlie this weekend. But the reality is that, you know, when I was doing phone banking, you know, there were lots of people, and I was doing it with the undecideds and the declined estates. Those people hate Doolittle. They hate him.
But and even if you had all the declined estates and even if you had all the undecideds with the Democrats, you're still a point short of the Republican registration.
Yes, you are. Yes, you are. But those people who are true Republicans that aren't going to vote for Doolittle may make up the difference. And so to me, the question is, when those people get in the booth, are they going to be able to vote what's clearly for the good of the country, or are they just going to vote what they're so totally programmed to do, which is to vote Republican no matter what?
Well, there are a lot of rich people who vote their pocketbooks.
Well, but their pocketbooks should not, if they can see beyond just their tax cuts, if there is no more middle class, they're not going to have any.
They're not
place.
Thinking about that. They're not thinking that there's going to be no more middle class. They're thinking about tomorrow, and they're thinking about the tax cuts. They're not thinking about down the line.
No, you're right. But I just think that there are people waking up as if out of a trance on a daily basis saying, my God, who are these people?
Well, why is it? All right, explain something to me. Why is it that Charlie's polling, and you know, maybe this goes to how polls are conducted. Charlie's polling weeks ago had him in a statistical dead heat with Doolittle. Now, more charges coming out against Doolittle, more revelations that he's being investigated by the DOJ. He did poorly in the debate. In that debate, he did so poorly that it triggered a lot of money or, you know, more donations for Charlie. How is it now that Charlie is doing so much worse than before all of these things occurred?
Well, here's a, I don't know. I mean, it makes, your points are well taken. All the stuff that's come out about Doolittle and, you know, all the stuff that's happened recently, I don't understand it at all. But one of the other issues is we know that the Republican Party machine is going to be pumping a bunch of money into California. And maybe that started, and maybe they're just coming up with their own polls. I don't believe the polls.
Well, I think we disbelieve them. I hope that you are right. I hope that they wind up being bogus polls, but I think we disbelieve them at our own peril. I think they should be used as a catalyst to really kickstart.
Right. I absolutely agree with that. We cannot let up at all. Because even if we are ahead, they're going to be fixing this election.
Well, I'm sure they are. And it reminds me, I need to get into that story from ABC News doing an investigation on the e-voting. And Margie, I thank you very much for the call.
Thank you very much, Edith.
You're welcome. 349-1320. Did anybody see over the weekend the GOP was supposed to start airing it. I did not see it. Their ad warning of terror attacks. So whether it's they're going to terrorize you with the possibility of terror attacks or whether they terrorize you with the possibility of the Democrats get your money, you're screwed if you have any. There's always terror operating. There's always fear. That's what they are. That's what they know how to sell and market, fear. 349-1320, 866-626, 1320. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to the Monday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. Time now to check traffic and weather together from the left with Lisa West.
Well, thank you. And the weather's just absolutely gorgeous. Nice to go for a jog or a bike ride. The low tonight, 54. High's coming up tomorrow. 81. South Bend, Watt Avenue at American River Drive. We have a vehicle that stopped in the middle of the roadway. It looks like emergency vehicles are on scene. La Riviera Drive, just east of Watt Avenue, two-car crash. Eastbound 50, just west of Power Inn Road. There's a two-car crash there in eastbound 50. On the opposite side by Power Inn Road, we have a three-car crash there. Enid Live will continue at AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
The conversation just got smarter. It's Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. The red...
New rule. Jewish people have to start... The Jewish population in America dropped 5% in the last decade, which may explain why this country's finances have gone to... Breed, you sons of Abraham, breed! We need you. Israel needs you. Kobe Bryant, Robert Blake, and Phil Spector need you. Without Jews, who's going to write all those sitcoms about blacks and Hispanics? Living in a box for 6 weeks doesn't make you a magician, it makes you homeless.
Laughing at the Truth, AM 1320.
I wanted it all. Intelligence, great looks, physical strength, inner beauty, even social consciousness. Friends said that I wanted too much, but I wouldn't settle. And now, I have it all.
This woman is talking about her Renewal by Anderson replacement windows from Hall's Window Center. If it looks better, lasts longer, and outperforms the competition, it's gotta be Anderson. The only windows and doors to receive Green Seal certification for energy efficiency and environmentally friendly manufacturing. Now you too can have it all. For a limited time, get 7 Renewal by Anderson windows and 1 Anderson PermaShield patio door from Hall's Window Center for just $69.95. Left channel listeners save an extra $150. Go to HallsWindowCenter.com. Click on the green seal for your coupon. Visit Halls Window Center today on Business Park Drive in Sacramento and now in Roseville on Roseville Parkway next to BJ's. Call 1-800-76-HALLS. SMUD financing available. Some restrictions apply. Offer ends September 30th.
At Cache Creek Casino Resort, win fast, win often with Cash Fever Jackpot. Jackpots start at $20,000 and are guaranteed to hit by $30,000. Every time a Cash Fever jackpot hits, a Cash Club player wins just for playing with their card. Plus, you can check the Cash Fever jackpot total and your Cash Club points online now at CashCreek.com. So join Cash Club today and get the fever. Cache Creek Casino Resort.
The color pink represents the promise to find a cure for breast cancer. That promise started the Susan G. Komen Breast Cancer Foundation and ignited the passion of millions to create a world without breast cancer. October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month. We are reaching out to you to make a difference this month by making a personal donation to the Komen Foundation and by showing your passion for the cure by wearing pink one or more days in October. Anything you can do to heighten the awareness of this cause can make a difference. To share your promise and to donate funds to our passion, log on to 1320LeftChannel.com.
Local, it's E Live on AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel.
On the Monday edition of Enid Live, I'm yours until 7, 3 to 7 weekdays on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. You can join the conversation. We have some lines open now, finally. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. You never know who's going to call, do you? It could be people who are running for office, which they call rather with regularity, which is kind of interesting and kind of fun. You don't know who's going to stop by this flea market of ideas. And if you are just joining us, you know, one of the stories we broke about Doolittle and the shock today is that there are a couple of polls out. One has Doolittle ahead by 10 points of Charlie Brown, and the other one has him ahead by about 8 points. We know that Doolittle has provided testimony on behalf of a sexual predator who was a fellow Mormon, but it's possible. We're still checking, but there is a possibility that he didn't do it only but one time. He may have done it more than that. I don't know if that's enough to sway anything. I think what will really sway the election is a Department of Justice indictment or some stepped up information coming from the Department of Justice to tell us that Doolittle is in even deeper doo-doo than we already thought. And I want to share this too, and I haven't had a chance to do it. A former Maryland Democratic legislator was shocked when she opened her mail last week. Inside, she discovered three computer disks. With them was an anonymous letter saying that the disks contained the secret source code for vote counting that could be used to alter the votes cast through Maryland's new electronic voting machines. My understanding is that with these disks, a malicious person could skew the outcome of an election. Excuse me, Diebold, the company that makes the voting machines, told ABC News that these disks do not alter the security of the Diebold touchscreen system in any way because election workers can set their own passwords. I don't for one second believe that, by the way. We all know that these systems can be hacked. So I say this because even when people don't have legitimate leads, they can concoct them by these systems being hacked. And I don't know to what extent you have e-voting in Placer County or in Doolittle's district, but I'd be curious to know anybody who might know. 349-1320-866, 626-1320. Ken in Rancho. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Ken.
Hi, Enid. Regarding Doolittle's apparent jump in the polls here, I have a suspicion that it might be because of the debate. I was a little concerned watching the debate that he was actually scoring points with his, to me, shrill attacks on Mr. Brown.
How was he scoring points? Because I thought he was just a complete mess.
Well, you're you and I'm me, and we're rational people, you know, with some insight into what life's all about. But a lot of the people up there in the hills that are voting in that district are, you know, pretty conservative, don't really worry too much about some of the deeper details involved in, who's standing for what. And, single issue voters, essentially, and tying Mr. Brown with the ACLU and NAMBLA, I was afraid it was going to be an effective technique for him in that district. And, you know, lo and behold, look what's happening.
Well, he must have had research that told him that. And this is the first.
He's been doing this for a long time. He knows what works. Negative ads work. They work real well. And he was on point the whole time through that debate. He really hammered it home, and I think it scored him some points.
Well, I hope you're wrong, but you might be right. I thank you very much, Ken, for your thoughts. I mean, is Ken right about that? That just saying things that were meaningless into and stringing them into a mantra is any kind of an effective response and pulled in all those points for Doolittle? Or maybe the lead was far greater and this 8 or 10 points is quite a big reduction for him. I don't know. In past elections, those of you who keep track of those stats, I'd be very curious to know. It's the biggest challenge and the toughest challenge that Doolittle has had. So between fixing the election and being, if these polls are correct, and it doesn't narrow in the next, the run-up to the election, why... And today, you just heard the News 10 report. Today is your last day. If you are not registered, this is your last day to register to vote. Katie Couric, when she began anchoring the CBS Evening News last month, her initial ratings were so strong she drew more than 10 million viewers in. It appeared that she might buck network news tradition. Well, you know what? It's a dying beast, the network news, but that's another story. And catapult the usually in third place newscast into first place and keep it there. But in 7 weeks, talk that CBS News' $15 million a year anchor would be crowned the instant queen of evening news is all but evaporated. Initial viewer curiosity in Katie Couric has worn off, a sign that popularity in the morning does not guarantee success at night. The news has dropped from first to third place behind NBC Nightly News and behind ABC World News. Rival producers are talking much more confidently than they were last month. Katie Couric now faces a long slog to win fans, a traditional challenge for anchors at CBS and its rivals, according to network executives. Obviously, no one wants to be number three, and I don't think we're going to be number three for the duration. But it takes months and years to change viewer habits, says CBS president, news president. We've said from day one that our goal is to get a larger share of the 24 million people who watch an evening news program, and that is exactly what we are doing. If the perception is we should be growing faster, I'd like to, but the fact is that we are not. It is also being reported that as a result of Katie Couric being now the first sole female news anchor, television news anchor, that you're not seeing women on the network on the evening news. They are scarcer. I don't know why. Whether she sucked all the air out of it, or Elizabeth Vargas took off, or I don't know why. But in any event, that's what's being reported. Do you have any thoughts about that? 349-1320, 866. 626, 1320. And I did not see the airing of the terror attack that the Republicans were to have aired this weekend. One more, if you're just joining us, the San Francisco Chronicle, one more point I want to make. San Francisco Chronicle has endorsed Deborah Bowen. And Matera and Ross are saying that that race between Bowen and Bruce McPherson is so tight that in some of the polling, Bowen is about 2 points ahead, which is really a statistical dead heat, and that it is too close to call. John Garamendi is about 5 points ahead of McClintock, but it's a tough campaign, so he's not out of the woods. Jerry Brown has got it for attorney general. Bill Lockyer will win as treasurer. Controller, John Chang is who you want. Do I have it right, or is it Mike Chang? I want to say John Chang is who you want. And Deborah Bowen is definitely who you want, although we're having a hard time getting her. We have a hard time getting her, booking her on the show, but I imagine that will happen, or maybe it won't. We did have her on before from the Democratic State Convention. Jerry Brown, an unusual politician in that he's got core values. He's not like Schwartzy. He isn't a complete media fabrication and concoction. He's got values that he believes in, and he's not sticking, not that he probably never has, but he's not sticking his finger in the wind to see what he believes in, and B, what you believe. He believes in certain things, and he goes forward on the basis of vision. And I would describe that as somebody who's a real leader, instead of depending on focus groups. And here's a letter to the editor from somebody named Nancy in San Francisco. I'm heartened. She says, and this is, she's writing in the San Francisco Chronicle, for months you've been running front page article saying that Phil Angelides is unpopular, a loser, unappealing, and doesn't stand a chance, adjacent to gushing coverage of the governor, basically doing only what he is supposed to do, which is to work with the legislature. With headlines tantamount to, ooh, Arnold showed up for work today, it has seemed at times that in your view elections are unnecessary. You just tell us the outcome and we can go on with our internet surfing undisturbed. The primary function of the Fourth Estate is to cover the news, not to make it. The Chronicle has absolutely forgotten Journalism 101. It is time to go back to school and refresh your memory on how paper's supposed to function. What are the candidates' platforms? And don't tell me taxes. He's for them and he's against them. We deserve better than a simplistic alliteration of campaign slogans. Somebody else wrote in about Schwartzy, too, that he was just sort of a kind of a Barbie doll figure, and that... I am amazed. I am just amazed that in many ways he's like George W. Bush. He is a product of even some of the slick marketers that marketed George W. Bush, people who learned at the knee of Rove and Cheney, so that it is an extremely slick, rapid response campaign. But there's no there with Arnold, and there are apparently not that many of us who can see through it. Not enough of us, anyway. Makes me sad. It makes me sad that if it's true that Doolittle is leading by 8 to 10 points over Charlie, that makes me sad. I don't understand how that can happen. 349-1320, 866, 626, 1320. I'm Enid Goldstein, and you are listening to the Monday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. Time now to check traffic and weather together from the left with Lisa West.
Thank you very much. Our weather is just so beautiful today. I'm really enjoying it. Tonight, lows 54. Highs coming up tomorrow, 81, and we are at 79 here in the River City. 2918 Watt Avenue in North Sac. A four-car crash. It looks like stopping things up over there. LC Avenue at Stockton Boulevard. We have a vehicle in the roadway and Pony Express Trail at Fly Park Road in Placerville. The three-car crash. There's no injuries, but emergency vehicles are on scene. Enid Live will continue at AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
The truth, according to Enid, will set you free. Call her now at 349-1320.
It is Hollywood in the Hill.
Hey, listen up. What about your future? Are you unhappy with your current job? You want to make great money and get the promotion you deserve? Now's the time. Explore your options. Log on to stackjobs.com and post your resume today. That's stackjobs.com. Post your resume and have local employers find you now. New companies being added each day and hundreds of jobs being added each week. So if you're in the market for a job, sackjobs.com is a click away. At sackjobs.com, you're on your way to a better day.
Whining about gas prices. It's good that it costs a lot, and not just because the sales tax will help pay for our twice-a-year governor elections. It's also good if it makes you think of walking the three blocks from your house to Del Taco instead of taking the Land Cruiser. Gasoline costs a lot because we have to find it, bribe or kill the people who live on top of it. Extract it, refine it, ship it, and pump it. You'll pay $2 a gallon, and you'll like it because you know what the alternative is. Riding on the bus with poor people. New rule. Call things what they are. If your morning coffee contains crushed ice, whipped cream, and caramel, it's a milkshake.
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320.
More buzz than an afternoon caffeine break. It's Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. A liberal dose of the truth of daily.
You
on the Monday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 7, 3 to 7 weekdays on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel. One of the things that we're not hearing a lot about, and I just got this email from Ted. Ted says, a couple things today's news. The Bush administration has conceded that they now need to set some timetables for withdrawal from Iraq. Would it then be safe to call the administration cut and runners? Well, remember, you know, here's what we found out about Dickey. Dickey and Karl Rove love fart jokes. So that whole phrase, cut and run, has a whole different meaning when you know that. But in any event, would it then be safe to call the administration cut and runners, letting the enemy know when they can plan to take over, waving the white flag? If not, then we must concede that the Democrats, who've been demanding some timetables all along, were right. Therefore, the Democrats actually do have a plan. It looks like the Republicans have stolen the plan. So anyway, here is James Baker, the family fixer, James Baker III. He got Dickey elected the first time in Florida. He came over and took charge. He was the old man's fixer. He's an attorney. He was Secretary of State, Chief of Staff also. For years, James Baker III was asked to explain why the first President Bush, whom he served as Secretary of State, did not oust Saddam Hussein. Guess what, he says. Nobody asked me that anymore. Of course, Baker still asked about Iraq, but the questions now focus on what strategies he and the Iraq study group, which he helps lead, will propose to deal with the Iraq war, and that the current President Bush started in order to finish a job that his father began but cut short. You know, it's interesting. James Baker now gets to be, I guess, co-chair of this study group, and then they can come up with a cut-and-run kind of a plan, and that takes Dickey off the hook. And I don't, you know, you're hearing a little bit about it, but you're not hearing a lot about it. Asserting that Dickey has an unwarranted reputation for not listening to dissenting views, James Baker says, it seems to me that this project demonstrates one heck of a lot of flexibility, so that Dickey maybe has more flexibility. But what, you know, I don't know if this is going to make a big difference, but they've got sort of a slick plan in place to have this commission, this Iraq study group, and this is what will sort of grease us out of Iraq. Well, you know, whatever it takes to get us out of Iraq, but it's sort of meant to grease us out of Iraq, it seems to me, and keep Dickey looking pristine. And, you know, they all said cut and run, but does this, you know, does this, is this a slap in the face to the cut and runners? Is my question. 349-1320-866-626-1320. Paul Krugman, since we were talking about him, he's got an advice and column. He's got a column in today's New York Times, which I think will probably appear in the Bee tomorrow. And he has got his advice for Democrats is the following. Don't make nice. Now that Democrats are strongly favored to capture at least one House of Congress, and by the way, Barron's is reporting that the Republicans are going to keep hold of both the House and the Senate. So I don't think anybody can rest on their laurels here. You don't know to what extent the polls have been correct. You don't know to what extent this regime will go to hack the voting. I mean, you just simply don't know. So I don't think anybody better take anything for granted. As I said, Barron's is reporting that that both the I have to dig it out here, that both the, oh, here it is. Jubilant Democrats should reconsider their order for confetti and noisemakers. Democrats, as widely reported, are expecting GOP-weary voters to flock to the polls in 2 weeks and hand them control of the House for the first time in 12 years, and maybe the Senate as well. Even some Republicans privately confess that they are anticipating the election day equivalent of Little Bighorn. But their analysis based on suggests that the GOP will hang on to both chambers, at least nominally. So Barron's, which is the business publication, is predicting that Republicans are going to, so Democrats, you know, typically snatching defeat from the jaws of victory. Now, and here's what Krugman is writing. Now that Dems are strongly favored to capture at least one House of Congress, they're getting a lot of unsolicited advice, and most of the advice urging them to walk and talk softly if they win. I hope the Democrats don't follow this advice, Paul Krugman writes, because it's bad for their party and, more important, bad for the country. In the long run, it's even bad for the cause of bipartisanship. There are those who say that a confrontational stance will backfire politically on the Democrats. These are, by and large, the same people who told Democrats that attacking the Bush administration over Iraq would backfire in the midterm elections. Political considerations aside, American voters deserve to have their views represented in Congress, and according to opinion polls, most Americans are actually to the left of congressional Democrats on issues such as health care. So let me ask you this question. If you are advising victorious Democrats, and let's hope that Barron's is wrong and the Democrats do take back the House and the Senate, if you are advising Democrats, would you advise them to speak softly and talk softly and investigate softly? Or would you say, you know what, step on the gas and go for it? I'm angry. Well, I'm angry. And I'm stepping in. I would advise Democrats to harness that anger and use it to fix things that are drastically wrong with this country. Because I think a lot of the country is furious. And to be namby-pamby is no sign of strength. It is here, I think, a sign of weakness. It's a sign of being poll-driven. You know, what we talked about earlier was Jerry Brown was one of those rare surviving politicians who is inner-directed. He's got a set of core values. He's got life experience. He's got a belief system. He knows what he believes. He is what he is. And he's got vision. A lot of politicians have no vision. They just have an unquenchable desire to be in office. And they'll say whatever the research tells them to say, and they'll believe whatever the polls tell them they need to believe to be elected. And I say, be honest, because we're angry. And I think we need to demonstrate that. And then you go on from there. Once the anger is dissipated, then you move on. But sometimes anger is a very good impetus for change to occur. So I agree with Paul Krugman on this one. 349-1320, 866, 626-1320. Now, some of you, maybe if you're a psychologist, you don't think it's so good to be angry, but we got a lot of anger going in this country. We got every kind of rage, more rage than Eskimos have snow. We have road rage, and we have cell phone rage, and we have, if you fly on an airplane and you stick your hand in the seat back pocket and it squishes up with somebody's old ketchup container, or worse than that, they don't even clean the planes anymore. Those are like flying cooties. Those are flying cootie manufacturing tubes. We're mad. We're not going to take it anymore. Bob and Zach, hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi, Enid. Good evening.
Good evening.
Hey, you know, I couldn't agree with you more about the need to be angry. You know, just the indecencies that this administration has committed around the world and just on individuals, and then the attack on our constitutional liberties. And so I'm in agreement with you, but I also have to say I think there's a little bit too much Charlie Brown this, Charlie Brown that, as though one or two people are really going to make a difference. Until we start demanding our people have some character and that they believe in some liberty, and we start go back and really evaluate what liberty is supposed to mean in our country, I don't know that we're really going to change things very much.
Well, how are we going to accomplish all that? What are we going to do to accomplish it?
I think education, I think entertainment education is one of the best ways. Movies and books, things that talk about the subject, that's the way we're infotained, and I think that might be one way. Because I don't think we're going to get it from our politicians. Feingold in Wisconsin is about the closest I can find to somebody who shows some character.
Well, wait a minute. Barack Obama is really on the circus, I guess. And Oprah seems to like him. I like him a lot from what I've seen. And everywhere he goes, he gets the kind of reception a rock star gets. So I would love to see him. I'd love a fresh face. And I'd like to see him give it a go in 2008.
I think as long as they bring some dignity and some honor and some principle to it, I don't have any problems with what they believe as long as we're going to be working from that principle. I think the anger in the United States is that we've all been raised on this fairy tale notion of how we control things and blah, blah, blah. And when you get old enough to realize that that's not the case, that's where that fury sets in. And I just want somebody who's going to be principled and have some dignity and bring some dignity to office and some character.
Well, that would be good. And how would, all right. So I'm glad that we agree. It's good to be angry.
All right, take care.
Thank you. 349-1320, Matthew and Zach. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Matthew.
Hi, how you doing, Enid?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Good. Hey, you know, I don't even know if it's a matter of being angry so much as, you know, if and when the Democrats take over both houses. I think it's more a matter of their constitutional duty to provide some oversight into this, you know, ridiculous regime.
Well, and to call it what it is, which is a ridiculous regime, except they all have to work together somehow.
Absolutely, absolutely. And, you know, I don't think it's a matter of being angry or getting back at the Republicans. I mean, this is a democracy, and you have to have full participation, and part of that is have a full-throated, you know, opposition party to it. I'd expect the same if the Democrats were this, you know, incredibly corrupt and amoral. I'd expect, you know, the Republicans or the Greens to come in and provide that sort of opposition and oversight. I mean, we've got to have co-equal branches of government or else it's not going to work, Enid.
I agree with you. I thank you for calling, Matthew. 349-1320-866-620-613-20. Do you remember the talk host, Armstrong Williams? Well, he's the one who was paid off by the administration. This administration will stop at nothing. They pay people to, they put out press releases and call it real news. They do VNRs, video news releases. You know, they use actors and stuff, and they try to merchandise it as the real news, which it's not. So there, in every way, there's a huge propaganda branch of the Republican Party, and some of the headliners in that propaganda branch are people like Rush Limbaugh, most of conservative talk radio. And here was Armstrong Williams, who I think he walked away with close to $250,000. And he is a talk host, and he was on the take from the administration to pimp some of their programs. He has reached a settlement with prosecutors regarding payments he received from the Education Department to promote President Bush's agenda. Under the agreement, he admits no wrongdoing, but he will have to pay $34,000. The deal was reached last week by Williams, the Education Department, and the subcontractor Ketchum Communications. The Education Department is happy to see this matter come to a close, said spokeswoman for Margaret Spellings, who is the education secretary. But, I mean, this is just reprehensible in every way. These people lie. They manipulate. They create false pictures. And I think that if the Democrats are lucky enough to win both houses back, or the House and the Senate, forget about making nice. You can do a workable situation, but I think you really got to go to town. 349-1320-866-620-613-20. I'm Enid Goldstein, and you are listening to the Monday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. Time now to check traffic and weather together from the left with Lisa West.
Well, looking pretty good, and the last traffic at 650, slowing down just a little bit southbound 99. Otherwise, back up to speed. I-5 by J Street, we have a two-car crash, and I-5 at Laguna Boulevard. Now, when you come down there, that street light is, I guess it's defective. It's not doing its job, so we've got a lot of messy things going on. Two-car crashes over there and stopping traffic down. So take Elk Grove Boulevard if you can, or get off on Mack Road if you need to get anywhere in Elk Grove at all. Otherwise, everything looks pretty good, even 50 over top of the mountain. Enid Live continues at AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Protecting your right to choose the left.
One of the most important things in your life.
It's Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Hello, citizens of the world.
Want to keep up on what's going on in your community? Go to the events page at 1320leftchannel.com.
The first step on the road back to reality.
You'll find out about political happenings, cultural events, concerts, and more.
Really? They thought of everything.
Don't just sit there. Do something and make a difference. Make a
difference. If we don't act now, it's going to be too late.
Find out how you can get involved. And be sure to bookmark it. The events page at 1320leftchannel.com.
Thousands, maybe.
I wanted it all. Intelligence, great looks, physical strength, inner beauty, even social consciousness. Friends said that I wanted too much, but I wouldn't settle. And now, I have it all.
This woman is talking about her Renewal by Anderson replacement windows from Hall's Window Center. If it looks better, lasts longer, and outperforms the competition, it's gotta be Anderson. The only windows and doors to receive Green Seal certification for energy efficiency and environmentally friendly manufacturing. Now you too can have it all. For a limited time, get 7 Renewal by Anderson windows and 1 Anderson PermaShield patio door from Hall's Window Center for just $69.95. Left Channel listeners save an extra $150. Go to HallsWindowCenter.com. Click on the green seal for your coupon. Visit Halls Window Center today on Business Park Drive in Sacramento and now in Roseville on Roseville Parkway next to BJ's. Call 1-800-76-HALLS. SMUD financing available. Some restrictions apply. Offer ends September 30th.
For a
good time, call Enid at 349-1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
On the Monday edition of Enid Live, I'm yours until 7, so just a few minutes longer. I was looking at the Sunday paper, and I was reading the public editor, you know, the ombudsman's column, and there wasn't one word about that Stan Atkinson column. And I expect, I know that a lot of you contacted Armando Acuna, but there was not one word about the fact that Stan Atkinson, who was flacking for PG&E on the issue of getting PG&E into, you know, having SMUD take over parts of YOLO and West Sac. And here he is. He's on the payroll of PG&E. He should never have been allowed to write that op-ed piece. They never should have published it. And given that they did, they should have identified that he was on the take for PG&E. We love Stan, but he's really pimping for PG&E here. All it said is that he and his production company, and it named it, represent the Committee for Responsible and Affordable Electricity. But it doesn't say that he's flacking for PG&E. I really thought that the Bee would address it in Sunday's paper, and they did not, although this letter to the editor ran, Stan Atkinson, and this is from Lorna in Davis, Stan Atkinson calls himself a journalist, but he is really a PG&E shill. Atkinson's op-ed fails to mention he collected $200,000 for PG&E for appearing in anti-SMUD ads. His media company is taking hundreds of thousands of dollars producing ads and a gloom and doom website for PG&E. Unfortunately, truthfulness takes a backseat to financial gain. Our grassroots movement lacks the deep pockets of PG&E or the name recognition and wealth of Stan Atkinson. We are valiantly struggling to bring SMUD's greener, democratic, and not-for-profit utility to Yolo County. She said, my husband, Dan, a utility analyst and author who has written on politics and the struggle for a solar economy, has taken unpaid leave from work to fight for SMUD. If Atkinson believes SMUD is so bad, why doesn't he put his money where his mouth is? This is a classic David versus Goliath saga with PG&E wielding a $10 million megaphone. As Folsom proves, expansion spreads the fixed costs over a larger base. Since Folsom joined SMUD, SMUD customers have saved more than $350 million. YOLO will bring savings to Sacramento voters. Please support SMUD. Vote yes on L in YOLO. Vote yes on H and I. Well, I don't see how there could be any possible contest to the choice between SMUD or PG&E. I think you have to be among the nearly comatose to go for PG&E. Your bill is going to be a lot higher. PG&E has got investors that it has to satisfy. So I can't imagine why the contest is as close as it is. Also, Karl Rove, it's being reported, is road testing a tougher attack on Democrats. Do you think they've already shot their wad, or you think there's something that they've got planned for the next couple of weeks? Because it's already been published about a million times that Rove has got something up his sleeve and he's going to get tougher on Democrats, but I don't know if I'm seeing it. Republicans have been promising they would ratchet up the rhetoric against Dems in the final 2 weeks of the fall campaign, and Rove offered a preview of it. He took a shot at the AC.